The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Hey, there's even a fridge! This is great! You can put six packs of soda in here, milk, yogurt. You can put candy bars in the freezer.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Hey, I tell you what, you can take a good look at a butcher's ass by sticking your head up there, but wouldn't you rather take his word for it? No, I mean, you can get a good look at a T-bone by sticking your head up a butcher's ass, but then, no. It's got to be your bull.
Paul Perillo.
I have what doctors call a little bit of a weight problem. I used to grab bear claws as a kid, two at a time.
That guy in a little coat. That guy in a little coat.
And Andy. And Andy?
You know where the weight room is?
Andy Hart.
Were you watching Spanktrovision? Maybe you were watching a movie with that funny comedian. Oh, what's his name? Buddy Wackett?
Hey, that's a pretty girl down there.
Geez, I wonder if she goes out with one of the Yankees.
Eric Scalavino.
I don't like you. Probably never will. You're a smug, unhappy little man, and you treat people like they were idiots.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
I'm going to make a toast to the best bunch of freaks ever born. Maybe we weren't the smartest guys.
Maybe we spent a little too much time puking off balconies.
But we had fun, huh? Yeah!
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium, and a little different than past off-season shows. Today was an organized team activity. An OTA, better known as. The entire team was here, minus a few. 83 guys, did you say, were out there?
86, I
86
believe.
86 players out there, along with coaches and media. Media were allowed to watch the practice today, although it was kind of difficult because none of the guys had numbers on their shirts. So these guys are going to guess as to who was doing well and who wasn't. I will say this, though. Tom Brady looked as good as ever.
Couldn't agree more, Freddie. I'm with you.
In his black spandex pants.
All right. A little later start today. 1 o'clock. We'll be here until 3.
I'll tell you who else looked the same as ever.
Who?
Ryan Mallett.
Okay. Well, we'll get into that.
Oh, no. He suck again.
We'll be here until 3 o'clock Eastern. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. So let's get right into it, guys. OTAs today. You guys just came from practice and a little bit of player availability. What do you think?
Well, first of all, we'll do a quick rundown of some facts. Rob Gronkowski, obviously not out there, had surgery yesterday. Brandon Spikes, not out there. I'm sure we'll talk more about that later. Paul Perillo has some interesting thoughts on that matter. Brandon Bolden, not out there. And Julian Edelman not out there. Obviously, Edelman was seen in a walking boot, so that's not surprising.
But Bolden not out there.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Answers the question: why bring in LeGarrette Blount? Why, you know?
Well, maybe,
maybe. Yeah,
I mean, you don't really know anything.
Well, I think we can put two and two.
That was
together.
Well said by me. You don't really know anything.
Right. We just don't know.
Right. And then other guys, you know, the good chunk of players sort of riding the bike or working out on the side, including Boyce, not yet out there. Aaron Hernandez was on the field but doing rehab-type work. Devin McCourty.
Helmet off most of the time.
Well, of course. That wouldn't, you know, whether he was full practice or not, is the same
that's
for him.
That's a good point.
Devin McCourty, I think, was sort of limited participation. You know, Bill likes to say various degrees
various degrees in participation.
There was a lot of that. TJ Moe, who I know a lot of people are madly in love with, was sort of working off to the side.
He could have used Moe work today.
Yes. Who else of note was not taking full participation?
Well, there was some question for a while as to where Adrian Wilson was.
Yeah, but I still don't know for sure what he was doing.
Yeah. He was in a varied state of participation.
Yes. I know you people like my instant reactions on a practice where guys don't wear numbers or wear pads or do anything really of any relevance.
And
Ryan Mallett, I'm done with. Still slow reads, still throwing balls at guys' shins on short throws. Still, there's nothing there. I'm sorry. Move on. And Michael Jenkins, I have my concerns with. We knew he was slow and supposedly like a route runner, but I didn't know he couldn't catch.
Well, no, he made a couple of nice catches, and he also beat the defense
some.
A couple of times, which this says more of an indictment on the defense than it was about the swiftness of the receiver.
They let a guy named Molasses get behind him. But, you know, the Molasses part, he couldn't catch. The guy can't catch.
A lot of body catches when he was able to hold on to it.
Nice man, though.
I agree.
I will say, though.
Clutches, you mean?
Yeah.
And hard catches.
And catching the ball like almost like he was cradling it against his
chest. Of us would catch it.
Yeah.
Not somebody. You know when guys just go throw the triangle out there and just flippantly catch it? He doesn't do that.
Yeah, but I will say that Almendola looked decent.
I thought he looked very good.
Yes, looked sharp, crisp
Eric
running routes.
Decent.
I thought he looked very good.
Paul thinks Belichick is a very good drafter, so hard to say what very good means.
No, he's not at that level. He's not at Belichick's level. I said very, very good.
And then you said pretty good.
Well, I say decent, Fred, only because there wasn't a, I mean, they're not in full pads, so they're not going full speed against the defense. You know, running his routes, he looked crisp. He was catching the ball well.
Quick.
Yeah, very quick coming in and out of his routes. So, you know, for the first time we see him in a Patriots uniform, he looked pretty good.
I also thought somewhat interesting just the grouping. When they went special teams on the far field, all the quarterbacks were on the near field, and it was Almendola and Mike Jenkins working with them. Now, you could argue, well, Jenkins isn't going to take part in special teams because he's a big, old, slow receiver. Well, Almendola could. I mean, he's supposedly very athletic, has return experience. I just thought those guys getting the extra reps with the quarterback and Josh McDaniels and sort of group work was
interesting. And I wouldn't be surprised.
Go ahead. Don't you think, though, with Almendola, they might, as much as they can, keep him away?
I don't think he'll return.
Yeah.
When you're made of glass, they're not going to give you extra options to
On special teams, the first guy up in the kickoff return, which was an area that they've needed help in, was not surprisingly Leon Washington.
And
he looked fast.
I thought he looked really good as well.
Yeah, on the kickoff.
From the kickoff really far away.
Yes,
from a field and a half away.
Now, in fairness, that's the only guy I knew when he was returning the kick. The only one I knew because he's so short.
The other guy was easy to identify.
The guy couldn't catch the ball.
Yeah, I didn't know who that was.
I don't know who it was though.
But he sucked. I mean, he fumbled one like three times and like stumbled and bumbled. Yeah. And he was black and he had high socks. That's the only way I can describe it.
And a helmet.
And
a white shirt.
No, I did go out there for a little bit just to, you know, get a lay of the land. They have two fields that, if you're looking at them, they're horizontal to you. And all the action was on the far field. So you're talking at least 60 yards away with no numbers.
That's the key. I mean, if they had the uniforms on, you'd be able to tell.
If you've been to training camp, at training camp, it's the same fields, but they're vertically as you look at them. And in spring during OTAs, they change it for the way the grass grows.
Right.
But so it's horizontal now the way we look at it. So the far field. No, I know. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
For people who've been to training camp, it's
perpendicular and also parallel.
Okay.
But it's a long way away to be able to recognize guys without any numbers.
Yes. You know? Very hard.
But I did find there was a difference. I thought when Washington got the kicks, he would shoot right through the gaps in the middle, and he'd get to that outside. I thought there was a difference when he had it as opposed to the other guys.
That's a dramatic difference with the guy bouncing off his face.
The other guys, for all I know, might have been a steady stream of undrafted rookies that we don't really know. You know,
so Akeem Shavers.
It might have said more about those guys than Washington, but it looked to me like Washington had a jump in his step.
Hope none of them were Shane Vereen.
For OTAs, not
the bad ones.
I also thought Ridley early in the practice, when they broke up out of stretching, they did some running work. Now, obviously, there's no pad, so
and no defense.
But I thought that he was shooting through. Well, they were playing against the defense in the drill that I was.
Oh, in that drill.
Okay, yeah, but there's really no defense when you're not allowed to wear pads. Yeah.
Exactly.
Was it two-hand touch?
I mean, we know there's no pads on anything, but I just talking about quickness and that first step and stuff like that. You know, Andy and I were talking about the wide receivers. You want to try to see. Like, that's the thing that stuck out with Jenkins on the negative side is, like, we kind of thought he wasn't going to be the quickest, fastest guy around, but also didn't really appear to have the smoothest hands.
Mm. I thought he caught 40 passes because, you know, he probably wasn't open a lot. Maybe he got 40 passes because
he dropped the other 40. some of the other guys, like Amendola, I thought was very quick with his cuts and precise with his routes. Got a lot of. You know, a lot of encouragement from Brady.
Did we notice
with Jenkins? It was all right, Mike. You know, a couple of times there was one route they were running when the drill that Andy was talking about when the special teams were going on and the two were in front of us. McDaniels was correcting him on a couple of things. Jenkins now whereas with Amendola, it was that's it, Danny. That's it, Danny. Now I don't know. Maybe he's the teacher's pet. Who knows? But it looked to me like he was more impressive.
Are we going? I forget what I was going to. Oh, did anyone notice what Brian Daboll was doing?
Offensive line.
Offensive line.
He appears to be working with the tackles, from my observations.
Really?
Now, that could change. That could be today, and he could do a different role tomorrow or whatever. He's clearly an offensive assistant, but for those of us who may have thought that Dante Scarnecchia is coming to near the end of the road, maybe you're grooming an offensive line assistant who could take over.
Yeah.
Maybe that's Brian Daboll. This is all speculation,
right?
But I'm going to be honest with you. If you're not going to wear numbers, I'm going to speculate a hell of a lot about what I just saw.
Right.
So,
I mean,
Brian Daboll, offensive line assistant, who's being groomed for Dante's replacement.
Oh,
go with
boy.
It.
All right. Any other coaches stand out? You said McDaniels was
with the offense.
With the offense, obviously. But talking with him,
I did. Well,
the receivers.
You know,
he also was
you
rushing the passer and had a night. He got the edge on Solder once.
Yeah,
bull rush didn't work as well.
No, but as long as you bring it up, I mean, these are the kinds of things we're resorting to because you're basically picking out anybody that you could identify.
Right. I saw and Solder and McDaniels, we can identify.
Mayo.
Tall.
Mayo spent a lot of time talking with Matty P. In between the two fields during special team stuff, Mayo was talking a lot with Patricia. You know, that's like. I knew it was Mayo, so that's why I'm telling you.
Oh, you're a guy that was all in dressed in black?
You know who it is?
Yeah, Don Davis.
Oh, Donnie D.
So I'm walking off the field.
Oh, yeah, he looked linebacker? Like
one of the nicest men. One of the nicest men on that team ever.
Ever is right.
Now is he in official capacity again, or
don't know?
Didn't he have a job somewhere?
Don't know.
In the league, you mean?
Yeah, I thought he got like an assistant strength and conditioning coach, player development job somewhere.
Thought that was here a couple of years ago.
Possibly. Anyway, webradio at patriots.com, 508.
Can we get into the spikes thing?
0398 is the ace ticket hotline. All right, I was going to get to topics, but you want to start with spikes?
Well, everybody knows, you know, Gronkowski, there's an issue there, whatever. To me, this spikes thing not being here is very interesting, and Paul has an interesting take on it. Go, Paul.
Well, I'm going to read something that Mike Reese wrote yesterday, over the weekend, I should say, as part of his blog. He sort of was foreshadowing the fact that spikes was not going to be in attendance at OTAs. This was posted on Sunday, I believe. When media members are present for Patriots OTAs on Tuesday, one of the first areas of interest will be starting middle linebacker Brandon Spikes' presence. Now, when I read that sentence, I immediately thought, why would that be one of my first items of interest? I you know, Brandon Spikes is one of...
Because he hasn't tweeted in months.
90 guys who, you know... Spikes, who joined the team in 2010, as a second-round draft choice, enters the final season of his contract, and this is a big year for him to improve his stock and land what he hopes to be his big payday. Given that background, it's notable from this perspective that Spikes hasn't been seen much at Gillette Stadium since the offseason program began in mid-April. Staying away is within Spikes' rights, and there have been productive players in the past, Mike Vrabel in parentheses, who have taken the same approach at times. So one of the first things I'll be looking at Tuesday is if Spikes is present, and if he is, if there is any noticeable difference in his physical condition and how he is being employed. Now, what are your thoughts when you hear about that?
Somebody told Mike Reese to write that.
Okay. Andy, what are your thoughts when you hear that?
I have no idea.
Did you think at all when you hear that that maybe he's sort of Spikes, laying the groundwork for a potential holdout?
No.
Because others have.
Really?
Others believe that that's what's going on here. Now, we should update everybody. All the reporters indicated yesterday that he was not here on Monday.
Right.
He was not here on Tuesday. We were out here today, and to the best of our
knowledge.
If this is a holdout, it's the most ill-advised holdout in the history of holdouts.
I would.
I don't know if I'll go that far. It's pretty bad.
It's up there. If it's not the most, it's top five. But I didn't really think
Is Drew Rosenhaus his agent?
When I read this, I didn't think, oh, wow, it's pretty much saying that he's going to hold out.
Right.
And I think that if that's what Mike is trying to say, I think he should have written that perhaps he's planning to hold out.
The first thing, honestly, I thought was he talked to somebody who expressed unhappiness with the fact that Spikes isn't here for OTAs.
Well, I'm sure that's how he found out.
Yeah. Well, no.
How would you know? How would he know? Someone had to tell him.
It didn't have to be an inside source. It could have been.
Yeah, it could have been
another. Yeah,
an agent.
It could have been anybody.
Could have been somebody that
I'm
he
talking
knows.
About.
Like who?
Oh, I don't know.
That doesn't know he's in Foxborough.
Field Yates. You know.
So someone told Field Yates that he's not in Foxborough.
I'm just saying. It sounds to me like.
Boy, we
they
put
wanted
the emphasis
this
on the wrong syllable all the time in this show.
It just sounded to me like somebody wanted this out there. And Mike Reese was the guy to get it out.
But what does it matter?
I don't care about why it's written. I'm caring about, do you think he's holding out?
Right.
No.
That's why we're putting the emphasis on the wrong
place. No, I'm telling you what I thought. And hold
no,
out.
No, but what does that matter? It's going to be out there on Tuesday, right, if it's not out there on Sunday. So
you
it's
didn't
irrelevant.
Do this as a favor for somebody, if that's what you're sort of intimating.
I think
it's
that,
news.
You know, it's a little surprising exactly what he said, that on a guy in the last year of his contract isn't doing everything he can to maximize this year.
Maybe he is.
Well,
maybe
he
feels like he's been off injured and had issues
here,
and he feels like in Florida or whatever he can get better work.
I pointed that out. He's not wouldn't be the first guy that wanted to do things.
Comparing Mike Vrabel and Brandon Spikes is a little bit ridiculous.
Again, you know,
an established winner, proven Belichick guy, as compared to the guy you can't count on at all.
We go back to this may not be the best thing that Spikes could do. He might be getting bad advice.
It's another example of him doing the wrong thing all the time.
I didn't think holdout.
I didn't either.
No, but I'm not saying whether or not he's holding out. I'm asking about the interest level of him not being here.
I think it's interesting.
I mean, there's a lot of guys that weren't. I mean, in addition to the four guys we didn't see, okay. And by no means is this official. So let's keep reiterating that we didn't have uniforms. We did the best we could, but there were four guys that
we had uniforms. It says PFW right here.
We were four guys that
Eric
weren't accounted for.
Because apparently he's not on PFW. He's a lot like
I'm holding out.
Please. It's very Spikes-like.
But
why don't you?
And I know you already mentioned a lot of these guys.
Where's
you know,
Darren like Hartwell?
Hernandez, right? Hernandez didn't really take part.
Right.
You know, Boyce.
Right.
There's a couple other guys on the bike. Some offensive line. I know Conley and Vollmer, I think, didn't really do much. Devin McCourty had shoulder surgery. He didn't do much. But they were all out there.
Yeah.
Spikes, in various degrees of participation.
Spikes, we didn't see at all. So I would infer from that he's not injured.
But what about Bolden?
I don't know what the situation with Bolden is.
Think he's holding out? Because you know what?
He's Bolden out.
Your Spikes one just moved up the list a little of worst holdouts because Bolden's would be much worse.
Yeah.
You were an undrafted rookie. You were suspended during your undrafted rookie season.
He's probably under contract too, right?
Yeah.
So it'd be even, you know, at least, you know, he's trying to get an extension.
So Paul, what's
Bolden
doing? So your final take is what on this Spikes thing? Your take.
My take?
Yeah.
Is it a hot take?
I think he's preparing for a holdout.
That
really?
Is the dumbest thing
and
I've
I
ever heard.
And I didn't until he didn't show up for OTAs.
That is
crazy.
The dumbest thing I've ever heard. That he would think that there is any good that's going to come from a guy who can't be counted on, who's a two-down run-playing linebacker for a team who just drafted a linebacker with its first pick each of the last 2 years. I mean, talk about idiocy. This was dumber than going on chat roulette with a girl.
When I read this, I didn't think holdout at all. But when he's not here and I read this, now I agree everything that Fred and Andy said. I think it's dumb.
But it is a bad thing for the Patriots.
Bad decision.
Because they're relatively thin at linebacker.
I would have thought injury would come to mind.
That's what I would have thought. Oh, he played basketball again, sprained a knee.
Right. Somebody knows something about an injury and doesn't want to get it out there because they don't want to ruin the source.
Right,
because
he's so – like Edelman.
But,
you know, you assume it's because he was in a walking boot. Whenever that report
and it
was,
could be something as simple as that. He doesn't want to take part in the off-season program because he wants to keep himself healthy.
But that's still ill-advised.
It's not a holdout.
But it's still ill-advised.
You know, that's a possibility.
No matter what, and taking the next step, they're pretty thin at linebacker. Even though what I just said, you know, you have Hightower, you added Collins, you're still pretty thin
the inside,
a sudden you're playing, you know, Dane Fletcher, a starter, Jeff Tarpinian is playing. Like, it's a quick drop-off from a pretty good top group to not much else, a bunch of special teams.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me that this is a guy who says, you know what, I can get myself in better shape than myself than I can up there. Bad idea, but it wouldn't
and
be surprise
true.
Me if he thought
no,
that.
No, but it may even be true,
yeah, the condition
but your
is not,
spot with the team is the issue. And you're a guy who's had problems, who's had suspensions, who's done bad things on Twitter, dumb things that already you're not necessarily fitting in perfectly.
All adding up to, your ass should be here.
Correct.
You know,
there's nothing I don't think he can
the only way this is positive for him is if he's hurt, which is weird. But if he he had knee surgery, you know, he had a shoulder cleaned up. But if that's the case, then why isn't he here doing what
I don't think
else
this would be
doing?
Written if that's the case.
Yes, you're right.
Because I get back to Fred now. Someone
somebody
told Mike this
right.
Because we're not and this is not a criticism of Mike. This is good reporting.
Someone, it's also a terrible holdout if no one knows for sure.
Someone told Mike what's going on here because we haven't had access. It's not like Mike could know whether or not Brandon Spikes has been here throughout, April 15th? April 17th? When did the
15th.
15th, mm-hmm. Right? That's when,
a day
the marathon
that'll
day.
Be remembered in infamy.
Right. the day that the off-season program started, Mike clearly has been told that he's not here. Mike is not here. You don't have access to that.
Even we don't know who's here and who's not.
Well, sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
I see him coming in.
Well, when they're here, sometimes you see them, but that doesn't
know,
mean...
But if you don't see someone, you don't automatically assume, oh, he hasn't been in... I haven't seen Brady, but I know he's been here.
You just don't know.
Do you?
Well, I've been told he's
here. Do you?
He was here today. I saw him today.
He was here today. We can go that far. Oh, wait, is Best Buddy soon?
Throwing as well as
yes,
he ever
actually.
Has.
Yeah.
No, he wasn't throwing as well as he
I
ever
think
has.
He was.
No.
At this time of year?
Well, your head is so far up his ass that
for May,
you wouldn't know
great.
How he's throwing.
He looked great for May. All right, what else?
Actually, Tlaib was a little confused as to which month it was, too. May?
May, June, June, May.
The other topic, of course, is Rob Gronkowski, who,
he's fine!
According to reports, had surgery yesterday for the arm. To replace the plate.
And they still don't know if it's infected.
They think it's not.
Things are looking good.
They just
except
don't
for the
know.
Back specialist
things
he's going to see.
Good.
For potential
I'm very
surgery.
Optimistic about Rob Gronkowski.
And his back surgery that he's probably going to have?
He's fine.
You know,
he's
which
fine
could
now.
Cost him 4 months, which previously cost him an entire season in college.
He's fine.
You know, multiple back surgeries. That always works out well.
Well, that's the part of it that I find interesting.
You were right. You were right, Paul. You want me to say it? You were right. You don't touch people with bad backs. The Patriots drafted two guys with bad backs who became all-pro type players in the second round, and now they have bad backs again. You were right. Bad backs always come back. That's why they're called backs.
It's actually not why they're called backs. But anyway, what I find interesting about this is how quickly the people who reported the stuff about the back, the potential back surgery, were willing to just say it's a minor procedure. First of all, as we all know, there is no such thing as minor back surgery. But how, you know, it's in the short term, it's not a big deal. In the long term, it's not a big deal. This is not, it's a different disc, blah, blah, blah. He had surgery on a disc in college that cost him an entire season, correct? He's having surgery on another disc. Okay, I'll suspend belief with you. I'll go with you. It's a different disc. It's a surgery like that.
Well, but
so it's going to cost you 4 months.
Is it?
That's what the reports are saying. 4 months.
No, but
that to me is not minor.
I would take it a step further. Anyone who you could have been healthy your entire career. If you're telling me you're having disc surgery on your back, I'm concerned about your career.
Of course,
as a football player, I'm concerned. To me, disc surgery on a, and this is in everyday life. I mean, I don't know what if you guys, but I know a lot of people who have had back surgeries that are never the same. And I'm just talking about everyday life, like what it's supposed to do and how it ends up working out in the end. Is
let alone 6'6", 270-pound tanks that take a pounding
who flip and land on their back. And, you know, you remember, I'm wondering if this has to do. Remember last year, I think it was in Buffalo. He took a big hit and he immediately grabbed his back.
It was almost like Drago.
I'm wondering if it goes back to that. Or the time he landed on his head could have done something.
Listen, you know,
it's not good.
I had a couple injuries in my life, or let's say incidents that caused.
Real proud of you.
No, that caused compressed vertebrae. And
that's your fat shoulders that are causing a compressed vertebrae.
You know, to this day, you know, certain things will trigger that. You know, my back screwed up.
So you're worried?
The back thing is different. Yeah, that's
worrisome.
Yeah, that, you know, and like Paul said, everybody was quick to say, oh, but, you know, with the procedure.
That sort of worried me more.
He could be, you know, still in time for training camp. I don't know.
But that seemed very optimistic when I read it
today,
the first time.
Are you ready to say he's not fine?
I don't know. I don't know.
I can't believe you won't say he's not fine.
I don't know. Neither do you.
No.
Yes, I do.
No,
because people who are fine don't see specialists.
See, I'm very satisfied with Fred changing now. He now doesn't know. I don't know either. I'm with him.
Oh,
he
do.
Didn't know
he's
the other day either.
Guys who are fine don't seek out
specialists
and second opinions. Second opinions come after the first opinion was not to your liking.
As far as the arm goes,
this all started because
he's not fine.
As far as the arm goes, he's fine.
Unless, of course, they find out that the infection is still there. Then they go, well, I don't know how to get rid of this damn thing, so you're screwed.
Let's assume the arm is fine.
He's
got a back
fine.
Problem.
Right.
That's
and the other,
so he's not fine.
The other part of
we
it is they don't know. They don't know whether or not they're going to do this back surgery. So to me, it's almost worse if they don't, because then that's something that's going to bother them all season long.
Right.
You know how I always say, like, you start the season with these nagging injuries. Aaron Hernandez, he got hurt in week two. He was never going to be good.
Right.
And when I say good, not play well, I mean his health is never going to be 100%. When you have an injury already, it's going to get worse. It doesn't get better during the course of an NFL season. That's what's going to happen to Gronk. If he doesn't have surgery, I mean, the hope for us right now is that he has the surgery and it's successful and it alleviates the problem, and at least he can okay, worst case scenario, maybe he misses all of training camp and maybe even has to miss a couple of regular season games, because that 4 month is going to be right up to the start of the season, depending on when he has surgery. The report today said it's going to be a couple of weeks before they decide whether or not he's going to have the surgery. So there's a possibility that he's going to miss time. But at least there's also a possibility that he's absolutely 100% whenever he starts playing.
Sure.
I'll take that.
Sure.
I'll take that over he's starting the season 75%. And right. then by halfway through the season, he's down to 50%. And then by the playoffs, we're back where we've been the last 2 years.
Right.
We don't know what we're getting out of Gronk.
The only thing we know for sure right now is his career is never going to be what we thought it was going to be.
Well, I don't know that.
You know that for sure?
Yes.
I don't know that, Fred.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm on record with Fred. I don't know.
You don't not know that, by the way.
If he has another back surgery, I have to tend to agree with Andy. I don't think he's going to be quite the same player that he was.
I'd like to hear that from a doctor.
And if the arm continues to cause him a problem, he's not going to be the same player he was, because he's not going to be able to block as effectively. Who knows how it'll affect his pass catching?
I don't like the road we're going down.
I don't either.
Yeah. And we're already partway down that road.
Should say, too, that we did, some people in the organization, there weren't media invited, but we did see him on Saturday. He was at an event in Newtown, Connecticut.
Right.
And was
Which is good.
Yeah, it was good. He was taking part as
good sign.
As like a camp counselor kind of thing,
It looked great.
Running drills. For the kids.
For a guy who's about to go under the knife twice on two separate body
he
parts.
Did kind of like bounce around a little bit, ran around, did some things, threw the football with kids, like was throwing like bombs to these kids.
For all we know, the doctor said, whatever you do,
don't
throw.
Do that. Yeah.
I know. Grunk goes, ooh.
Well,
but seems, like when you
see
him.
That seems to be the part that's getting under fans' skin right now, is that like it's not so much that he's getting hurt, it's that he doesn't seem to be doing what he's supposed to be doing while he's hurt, while he's recovering.
But you see him in an environment like that, and it doesn't look like there's anything wrong with him. He didn't have anything on the arm, no cast or anything. He was running around, you know, not doing sprints, but like he wasn't limping. He wasn't like clutching at his back. So he looks
But he also didn't have a linebacker and a safety draped on him.
Exactly. And he wasn't doing things full speed.
Right.
He wasn't getting hit.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of which,
he also wouldn't talk to us.
Not surprised. Side topic. Somewhat related. Jake Ballard was out there. This is sort of our first viewing of Jake Ballard.
And looked like he was limping a little bit.
Not only limping a little, stop telling me he's like Gronkowski. You know, people were trying to sell, oh, got another big tight end, athletic, and block, and catch. Are you freaking kidding me? If you thought that athlete that I just watched out there was anything like Rob Gronkowski, you're kidding. Maybe 10% of Rob Gronkowski, or 20%, but ridiculous. I mean, he looks like a big, stiff, white tight end, that of which there have been thousands over the years. Rob Gronkowski is special. He was,
you know,
not in the ballpark, area code, or state of special.
Is he as good as Anthony Fasano?
Use the past tense there.
Oh, no. Maybe. I don't know. I haven't seen enough of him to do that. I'm just comparing him to Gronk.
I'm not even
People
sure
wanted to tell me he was Gronky.
I mean, let's forget the Gronk. Gronk's a once-in-a-lifetime player.
Did you ever believe that?
No, but now I know for sure. I hadn't seen Ballard
Gronk's
up close.
Gronk's on a once-in-a-lifetime. Yeah. But we did see Ballard as a Giant, and he was a plotter.
People were trying to tell me he was building towards something. He's building towards nothing except being a backup tight end in the NFL. Because he's not a starter on a team that has a real starter.
Okay.
And luckily, well, if he's healthy, we have a real starter.
Any idea about Dobson? He
made a nice catch.
He looked
today.
Okay. He made a nice catch in traffic.
There's a shock.
Yeah, well, because as Andy said, he can't make any separation. It's always in
traffic.
That's
why it's always in traffic.
That's why I separated myself from the peanut gallery, Fred.
Wait. No, you didn't.
No, I just don't like sitting
You're
in the
overweight
grass.
And needed a seat.
You sat down.
I know.
I just don't like sitting in the wet grass.
The people, though. It wasn't wet at all.
It was wet.
It wasn't. My butt is perfectly dry.
It's wet.
Let's have an argument whether the grass was wet.
Why? You're having
it was
an
damp.
Argument over whether or not
it was damp.
Not when I sat down. It was perfectly dry. You might have been in the shade. I was a little bit more in the sun.
That's true.
All right. Webradio at Patriots.com. We have a lot of emails, many of them interesting. Josh in Arlington says, May 21st, the day that will live in infamy, the day that Brandon Spikes began his passive-aggressive holdout for a new contract and more money.
That is – I just can't believe anyone – we need to – is I'm going to say yes a couple more times. Is Drew Rosenhaus his agent?
I don't know who his agent is.
Because if so – this is by far the worst advice that he has ever given, and he's probably given a lot of bad advice over the years, because I just don't – what's the reasoning? What's the logic? How do you, as the agent, go to Brandon, you know what we're going to do? We're going to hold out. Wouldn't Brandon Spikes say, whoa, that's not my style? Isn't Brandon Spikes Mr. I just want to play football? All the other stuff is stupid. I really just want to be out there with my helmet on. I don't even take my helmet off for interviews because, you know what, I just want to play football and hit people. Well, I thought you just wanted to play football. You're not playing football. What are you doing? You know, I thought it wasn't about money and draft picks and 40 times. I thought it was just about playing football. I can't believe this is a holdout. There's got to be more to this story.
There's got to be more to the story. But let's not classify this as a holdout. No one said it was a holdout.
And it's an OTA, so technically even it's
right,
not.
Right, it's voluntary.
Right. Yeah.
Well, it would be setting the groundwork for one.
And it's not voluntary.
Yeah, but none of these.
Don't tell me that 86 players wanted
voluntary
to be out
in
there.
Quotes. It's voluntary in quotes.
Would it's like saying it was voluntary that we had to be there. That's our job.
Would you be there if you were a football
yes,
player?
Yes, yes.
Right. And really,
but I probably wouldn't have been good enough, knowing my like you know where you fit in on a team. If I were Tom Brady, I might not be there.
And in reality, I think
peace, Bill.
We could probably say 88 people were there because I mean Gronk and Edelman we know are hurt.
Right. Certainly Gronk. Right.
I don't know anything about Bolden, and I don't know anything about Spikes.
Let's see. Cole from Waterloo. I wanted to ask you what you thought of Tom's recent comments about he's never felt better throwing in his entire career. Does this mean, A, Tom Martinez wasn't as good as Brady said he was?
I thought of that, too.
B, Brady is trying to convince himself that Tom House is a good throwing coach. C, Brady is finally getting over the chronic shoulder injury. Or D, actually there's an E. So D, Brady doesn't want his arm to be an excuse when these new receivers don't pan out. Or E, it's actually true, and Tom House is getting Brady ready for another amazing season.
Or F, he's actually feeling old and are not throwing as well as he always has, and he's trying to get ahead of the curve. And, you know, sort of the Chad Jackson thing when we drafted him, oh, he was great at the whiteboard. We put him up there in Dino's place. He was great. You get ahead of it. You beat it to the punch. That's F. That would be the cynical view.
And that's the Andy Hart view.
Which do you think it is?
F.
That's the Andy Hart
view. I don't believe he's throwing better than he ever has. I'm sorry. I don't believe it.
He might feel physically better than he ever has.
And he did say feel.
Right.
I feel.
So that might be true. But as far as how he's throwing the ball, I don't
see. Well, maybe he's found the fountain of youth.
In the Bay Area?
Well, you never know.
With, forget it.
You know, what would be the downside of him telling Peter King that if he actually didn't feel that way?
There's no downside.
No downside.
There's no downside?
Yeah.
No.
You don't think he'd be setting himself up for...
He talks about stuff like that and doesn't have to talk about his receiving core.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. No downside at all.
All right.
Yeah, I can't envision a downside to it. Just
and for Peter King...
As a Patriot fan, there's a downside.
And for Peter King, I know that you know some people have been critical, but he got a lot of run from that. You know, he didn't get anything newsworthy, but he got a lot of run out of it. Everybody had it yesterday. ESPN.
Could also be a passive-aggressive reason why he's saying that. About his receiving core. I'm throwing the ball fine.
It's not my fault.
Yeah, I'm doing what I can do.
That was one of the options.
But I also
one of the options.
C? Was that C?
He just got here. He doesn't know if those guys suck yet.
Yeah.
Right, he's protecting himself, saying, look, I'm throwing the ball fine. I'm feeling great.
Yeah, I don't think that's it.
No, no, no.
It's just old.
Let's see. Ash writes in. Ash in England here, who is a male. Third time emailer, hopefully second time read on air. I was reading.
You think
an article,
his name is Ashley?
Ashley, yeah.
Well, just
that's the one
Ash.
That you thought was a girl. Remember?
Oh, this is
yeah.
the Ashley.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a different Ash.
I knew an Ashley that was a male.
Yeah, this one.
In fact, there's one of the characters in Gone with the Wind. Ashley was a male.
Wait. Ashley Ambrose, former Bengals
wait
quarterback.
A minute. Did you
Ashley?
Know somebody, or is it a character in Gone with the Wind?
No, I knew also knew somebody
named Ashley who was a male.
Yeah.
Well, I just told you it was a cornerback.
No, I remember him.
Ashley Ambrose.
I just don't think it's all that common.
He's talking
across
about
the pond, I think it is.
Oh, over there.
Ashley Cole.
This is a footballer. Lot of male ashes.
He's talking about the Brady thing as
Ash
well.
Play.
Is this standard off-season positivity put out there by Brady
Alex.
To perhaps mask the fact he's getting on a bit, or should we be expecting another MVP candidate season from him?
I think people like reading a lot more into benign quotes than they need to be.
No, I like it. He's done.
You can't possibly think that.
No. I think, yes, I would expect another MVP-like season because he had an MVP-like season last year, and he's still pretty good, and I haven't seen any reason to think there's a dramatic drop-off.
It's also the off-season. He hasn't been hit for months, so of course he feels great. You know?
I mean, can you just take it for face value? He feels great.
On another note, I'm glad
great.
To hear
but he feels better than he ever has.
But, you know, how many other times has he felt like that?
Why does he feel better than he ever has at 36 when you shouldn't feel better than you ever have?
Because like Eric just said, it's been 3-4 months since he's gotten hit.
Feels but it great. Was always 3-4 months right. since he's been gotten
but
hit.
But he may have felt like this every year. feel better than I ever have.
Oh, so he's going down the route of he's the best. He's playing better than any other. This is a useless comment. This is a useless comment.
That's how I read it. How many more years is he going to
play? People just don't understand. How many years? Words are supposed to have meaning.
How many more years is Tom Brady going to play?
10 more.
Every year he tells us 10 more. 10 more.
Okay.
Every year.
And he might believe that.
I mean, at some point, he was lying, right? Because 8 years ago,
remember that we said
he'd only have 2 years left.
Costanza, it's not a lie if you believe it.
Well, no, he might only have 2 years left.
But last year, he told us he's playing 10 more, so at some point, he lied. If he stops in 2 years, at some point, he lied.
I don't think he's playing football when he's 46.
Every year, he tells us 10 more years.
You don't know.
I don't know, but I don't think, I don't.
And I don't, and when I say, before anybody attacks me, I don't believe he's lying.
Isn't the fountain of youth in St. Augustine?
I believe he feels great.
Beg your pardon?
Isn't in St. Augustine the fountain of youth?
And somewhere in Florida?
Yeah. Isn't that what Ponce de Leon?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
That's where he was looking.
Next to that flea bag motel they put us in for a Super Bowl.
I'm really glad I missed
that one.
Was
it true when Ponce de Leon landed, he said, boy, this place smells.
He did.
No, it's true.
He did, yeah.
He did.
Florida stinks.
Ashley also says on another
note. Oh, wait, whoa, time out. We have more news, too. We should, the Kyle Love comments, we should get to those.
Let me finish this, and then we'll get to that. On another note, I'm glad to hear it seems the infection has cleared up in Gronk's arm, but I'm now worried about the back situation. I know he spent time on the sidelines at college because of this injury, so...
No. He missed a year, not spent time.
Should we be worried about Gronk's career?
Yes.
Will be overshadowed by his inability to stay on the field and stay healthy.
Yeah, there will be an NFL film special about how he never was what he could have been because of injuries and other issues.
Positive Andy. Okay, now you can
talk really
about
He really is unbelievable,
Love.
Isn't he? Yeah.
Kyle Love, who was claimed by the Jaguars, had his first workout apparently yesterday with the Jaguars, also has no dreads anymore, shaved his head, and wears a Jaguars jersey, which I don't know if people, I mean, helmet, which, did you know they're two-tone now? Black in the front, yellow in the back.
Oh, is that right?
There's a lining down like the middle. It's very strange.
It's not a good look.
It's ugly. But he had some interesting comments to the Florida Times Union, and I would tell you to go to the blog on patriots.com if you want to read them or link to the story.
Let's do that quickly. Robin in Alaska, on the blog, which isn't a blog, Andy asks, what we thought of Kyle Love now that his balls drop because no one is telling him to shut up. To put it succinctly,
amazing,
Kyle
huh?
Love is acting
Players
like Eric
here?
On draft night. Go on. Proceed.
So he's being a bitch?
Proceed.
Okay. So he is in Jacksonville and spoke with the Florida Times and wanted to apparently clear some stuff up. He claims, A, that he didn't lose. It's not like I lost 30 pounds or anything. B, was diagnosed with diabetes on a regular blood test, not an illness-related thing.
Right.
And then the big boomer kind of was, you know, he wasn't surprised that he was released because that's the way they do business up here. They treat guys that have, you know, worked hard for years
like rookies.
Yeah. How's that sit with you, Fred?
How did that make you feel?
I believe that a lot of guys that are here long do get treated the same as rookies.
Now, do you believe Kyle Love, an undrafted free agent who heading into his fourth season had already signed a reasonably lucrative contract extension with the team that had developed him and put the faith in him to keep him on the roster, was treated ill by this organization at
any
point?
I think a lot of guys who feel like when they get hurt and they don't immediately get their job back,
A team that reportedly offered to allow him to retire for a year and keep his signing bonus.
Look, you can say whatever you want. I mean, and we had emails from a lot of people who have diabetes or know people who have diabetes or just know about the disease. It's hard to fight the disease or keep yourself healthy when you have to weigh 325 pounds.
That was in there too, by the way. He not only passed a physical in Jacksonville, Caldwell, or was it the coach? One of them was quoted as saying, you know, they're comfortable with how what he can and can't do and how we'll have to manage this situation, basically, with the diabetes.
I'm sure it's not the first blood test that Kyle Lev ever had. All of a sudden, he has diabetes. It's not like he's had this throughout his career or in college. Now he's got it.
And both parents had it, by the way,
and
type 2.
Something between last year and this year changed in his body, and now he has diabetes.
So he's claiming that a random blood test found the diabetes, not the substantial weight loss, which
he claims
disputing.
He said it's not like I lost 30 pounds. I believe the report was 20.
20.
So both could be right. He could have lost 20,
and
he's saying I didn't lose 30.
Yeah.
That would have been a problem. He said just a routine blood test came up with diabetes.
That's interesting.
And as I said, he in the story it said both his parents have type 2 diabetes.
Again, it's going to be hard for him to stay healthy when it comes to the diabetes.
I'm going to argue impossible. Even though I'm not pretending to be a total expert,
I
am going to argue that he can be as healthy with diabetes as possible weighing 320. I find it hard to believe he wouldn't be healthier at 220 or 250 or, you know, managing. Now, he claims he cut out desserts, he's cut out carbs, he's managing it, feels fine, they're comfortable, all that. But we'll see.
He's probably like me. I get an injury, and the first thing I do is I go into denial. That's fine. You know,
or when someone else gets
injured. A lot of comparisons to Fred today.
He's putting himself in an NFL body a lot today, isn't he?
But you know what I'm saying? So,
or if the best player on the team gets hurt, he's fine.
He probably thinks I'm going to be able to get through this. You know, but I'm just going by what people in the know have told us.
But why did one team agree with him?
Yeah, that's a good question, because I asked Paul the other day, did we do something to Jacksonville where now they want to make us look bad? You know,
I think they just figure, oh, it's a Patriot. Let's scoop him up.
He started 25 games for one of the best teams in football over the last couple of years. We need D-line help. We'll take him.
Yeah, I know, but...
But why didn't their doctor say...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's my question. Whereas then, in the report I saw, they were the only team that claimed him.
I'm guessing he didn't get a second opinion on the physical either.
Yeah, probably not.
Well, and that's
another... Woohoo! They said what I want.
That's another thing, you know. No other team claimed him. And like we know, you can always find a doctor, right? You know, if you look hard enough. He looked 32 ways, and he found one.
And to me, you know, we talked a lot about the medical aspect of it on Thursday, and I agree. I still feel the same way that all the way we talked about. But you asked a question, Andy. You know, is he wrong to think like that?
Who?
Love, you know, like a team that, you know, he's entering his fourth season. No, I don't think he's earned anything. He's Kyle Love. He's an undrafted free agent. They took care of him. They gave him a better contract than he probably, you know, had to have. I won't say deserved, because he played well. He earned it. And I do think that he's a good player. I think he was a good find as a undrafted rookie. But he didn't. I mean, let's face it. Let's not put him into the Vince Wilfork category or the Gerard Mayo category, or, you know, the guys that are established themselves as NFL players. Is he treated any differently than, say, like Rob Ninkovich? Rob Ninkovich has done a lot more than he has. Rob Ninkovich is playing for peanuts. And if this happened to Rob Ninkovich, there's no doubt in my mind that the same thing would have happened to him. You know, if he had this kind of a health situation. I don't think the Patriots did wrong by this guy.
I know
we took some criticism for saying that on Thursday, but... I'll stick with it.
And I'm not surprised he said it. I wasn't shocked.
Yeah, like, I'm not going to kill him for saying it. I just disagree with
that.
I'm a little surprised.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not. You know, I think that...
What good comes from it?
I think, you know, think about what went through his mind. He gets diagnosed with diabetes. Oh, my God. You know, and, you know, then he starts to rationalize it. Yeah, I can still do this. He's faced with a choice by the Patriots. Neither which are nice. You know, he doesn't want to take a year off. He doesn't want to retire. And he doesn't want to get released. So he feels he was wronged. I can understand. But I still think that the Patriots, it wasn't the cold-hearted thing that a lot of people like to paint it as.
And I'm not going to kill him for saying it. And I just disagree with him. That's all. I don't think the Patriots really.
Yeah.
I think you can make a really strong argument that the Patriots did right by him. Not only did they not wrong him, I think they did the right thing for him. Now, maybe I'm being naive about that, but that's how I feel.
All right. Food's here. Let's take a quick break. A lot of emails. We'll get to them right after this.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is your Bridgestone Tire headquarters in New England. We have thousands of quality Bridgestone tires in stock at great prices. Save big on such tires as the Bridgestone Dueler HL Alenza, Turanza EL400, the Dueler HT and AT, and the Potenza G019 Grid. And if you're looking for a quality tire to get you through the winter, we have Bridgestone Blizzak tires in stock right now. We have Bridgestone tires in stock no matter what you drive. Remember that we are New England's headquarters for top flight maintenance, with over 100 ASE certified master technicians on our staff, utilizing state-of-the-art diagnostic equipment. Plus, you'll find easy online appointments, comfortable waiting areas with free Wi-Fi, free shuttle service, over 65 locations across New England, and the best customer service in the industry. Check out our everyday low prices now on Bridgestone Tires and make your appointment today at SullivanTire.com. We're always here to get you there.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
Let's go.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, great moments in PFW in Progress history.
From the photos Danny was telling me.
No. Unlike the rest of the world, I didn't clamor to go see
Brett Favre's junk when it was available online. I still have not seen his junk, just like I haven't seen Greg Oden's. I don't seek out male penises.
See?
Unlike some men in this world.
Couldn't agree with him more. I've never seen one of those photos.
But I like breasts. But they said Jen Sterger photos available, see why Favre was after her online. I'd be dialing it up
tonight.
Matter of
fact, I have done that.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
I think that's really funny, though. Why would you ever do like a Google search on Greg Oden's junk?
Right.
Did you see Brett Favre's?
Yes.
Did you see Brandon Spikes?
Yes.
I don't get that. I don't know why you would want to see
just
that.
Watching it.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
Jonas writes in at webradio at patriots.com. He says, is there any way we can hear the Kirsch in Seattle great moment coming out of a break? This is the story Fred told about getting stranded without toilet paper. I love the great moments, but I know that there are more than just those we hear regularly. Thanks again.
I was thinking the same thing. We're not very great. We only have like two great moments.
Was it titled Kirsch in Seattle?
Are you going to ask us?
Aren't you the guy who should know that? I have a feeling it was probably before my time. That's why I'm asking.
No idea.
Where would it be? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Toilet paper, Kirsch, Seattle. I don't know.
The problem would be we haven't already produced one, right?
I have no idea.
So you'd have to know when you said that story.
Oh, I thought he hadn't made it into a great moment.
I have no idea.
Well, we played Seattle in October, right? So it had to be one of the October shows.
I have a feeling it was probably...
Because that's when you told that story. You told that story when we came back from Seattle, right?
Yeah, the last time.
Yeah, the last
time. Oh, the last time?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
When Paul and I were there.
Oh, that was 4 years ago then.
Yeah. Anyway, Jamal writes in on webradiopitches.com, according to
December.
Jeff Howe of the Boston Herald, Paul's guy, Spikes has been working out on his own and isn't staying away because he's unhappy with his contract, which expires after the season. Every other starter has been at the facility in some capacity since the offseason program began April 15th. His last tweet read, transformation. I believe he isn't holding out, but I think he is a liability in coverage. He must be trying to get faster and in better shape. He isn't going to get a great contract if he can't play in coverage. He probably wants to be known as a three-down linebacker, not just some run stopper. Don't understand where you guys are getting the idea that he's holding out.
Why is he not here? Although this is voluntary, it's essentially something that the entire team is at.
Although if you do take that tweet, transformation, maybe he is changing his body into...
That was in February.
Yeah.
That's not a reason why on May 21st he couldn't show up for practice.
I don't know.
I think this is ridiculous. I mean, to just pretend, you know, he's doing it in the best interest of whatever. No. The best interests of being a New England Patriot this year are to be here with the other 86-plus members of the New England Patriots.
I agree. I think whatever he's doing, it's ill-advised.
Right.
Well,
and it's like, let's not pretend he couldn't work out here. Like, okay, even if he believes he needs to do some certain workout program, do it here. Do it for these practices.
Wouldn't
when
that
you
be
need
the
to
best
be here,
way for you to turn yourself into a three-down linebacker is to work with the NFL coaches that are trying to develop you into
a
three-down
linebacker?
No, but I'm
saying, even if he believes he has some speed coach that's doing X, bring speed coach here. Do whatever you need to do, but be here for what are important aspects of the team-building process. The best way to get a contract is going to be play football for the New England Patriots in 2013. I find it hard to believe if he gets cut by the Patriots or he's not here and his role diminishes with the Patriots, that is going to lead him to the most lucrative deal. The best deal will be if he's here, the defense gets better because of him and others, and then he goes, well, I was a big part of them on defense.
And I'm not going to venture back down to our whole road. I don't know. Like, you know, Fred, we don't know about Gronk. I don't know what Spikes is thinking and why he's not here. What I do know is that in general, in our time here, during the off-season program, the players that haven't been here for OTAs, stuff that's visible to the media, it's been because they're going to hold out. Guys that have missed stuff on the field with the rest of the team.
Or been hurt.
Well, yeah, but
they're here. Then they're here, and we know they're here generally.
My point being, you know, a guy who skips OTAs like Asante Samuel is going to skip minicamp as well. And in his case, training camp. They're preparing. Like
Mankins.
They're preparing to
Seymour.
Hold out. Mankins, Seymour, Samuel, Branch.
It's just that Spikes is just that different of
but he
a
was
guy
a
that I could see him doing something that no one else has done. You know, I could see him. I agree. You know, Paul, you're absolutely right.
And that, and
I can see
do
Spikes
I know what Brandon
some other
do I know what Brandon Spikes is doing? No, I do not. And I want to stress that. I'm just telling you, in my experience, when guys have missed stuff that 86 out of 90 players are at, there's a reason. We know Gronkowski and Edelman are hurt. We don't know where Bolden and Spikes are or why.
Crazy.
Doesn't mean they're holding out. I just...
Conveniently enough, Bill Belichick didn't, you know, meet with the media today, so he didn't have to ask the question, answer the question, is Brandon Spikes' absence excused?
Right.
Because he's
we're
done that.
Talk about the players.
Unexcused or what, you know. No, but he's told it. Yeah, he's told us
you're
in the past.
He would have been asked it.
Well, I would have made you ask it.
Yeah, like last year, Brian Waters.
Yeah, unexcused, that.
Brian Waters was an excused absence.
Wow, this guy, for the first time ever, has something ready to go.
Last year.
Yeah.
Brian Waters was an excused absence from OTAs and minicamp.
Josh,
you find it interesting, Fred, that we had like our first off-season, you know, practice and availability, and we don't get the coach or the quarterback?
I think they're coming next one or something like that.
What are you doing?
It's a little warm in here. I'm trying to get some air in here.
My guess
are you
is...
told something that we weren't? Because...
Are you just speculating?
I didn't know that to be the case.
Are you just speculating?
I'm speculating.
Oh. Okay, I wouldn't put it out there for the fans to give
us. And wouldn't you assume it would be the first one? Like, oh, we're back at it. Here's Bill. Here, you know. The message of this is it's a teaching time, and it's a this, it's a that. Instead, we have no message. The message is he's not talking.
Josh in Charlottesville, Virginia.
We didn't get numbers on uniforms.
I'm loving the off-season show. It really keeps me going at work. I haven't been able to email a few weeks because I've been really busy listening at work.
If you're just listening, couldn't you just email? Like it's
the real estate market is starting to take back off in Charlottesville. Anyway, do you know what may have happened to re-injured Gronk's back? I know he took a couple of nasty tumbles last year, but I thought his back seemed to be fine. I hope he hasn't been out dancing and suplexing people while drinking heavily.
We know at least once he has. It was on video.
I know his forearm will cause him to probably miss up to a third or half of the season, give or take a few games. But this could put him out.
Wait,
could
what?
Yeah, that's what he's speculating.
He's more negative
than
I am.
But could this put him out for the year? If it does, do you see Ballard as a viable replacement? He fits the physical description and has good yards after catch, but he's no Gronk. Keep up the good work and God bless.
Yeah, I mean, for all we know, the video doing the DDT.
He heard it then.
Could have hurt his back because he didn't
the arm
land
will
very
not
safely.
Require him to miss one game.
Oh, stop it, Fred.
It will not.
Stop.
The back could cause him
the
to miss 16.
The back I don't know about. I don't know from the back.
Well, the reports, again, on the back problem have indicated that the Patriots medical staff had to do, quote, a lot to get him ready to play the back, get the back ready to play all season last year.
What do you think that means?
That means this is a bad...
Ice,
that means to me the...
Heat,
I thought you meant, like... Big picture.
Manual manipulation.
Maybe acupuncture.
Shots.
Who knows?
We do know that they're big on acupuncture.
Mm-hmm.
Well, according to Shane Vereen, they're doing Pilates now, too.
Pilates?
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder what that when you say the medical staff had to, you know, are we going so far as, like, he got a toradol injection in his spine every week or less, you know, less down, you know, a lot of ice, a lot of therapy, a lot of rehab, whatever.
Right. We don't
I wonder where that spectrum
is. Right. Harry Mann writes in, this person also wrote me after the last edit letter. He was very critical of
one of my favorite listeners.
Wrote about taking Jamie Collins. And he says, very simple question. Why did they pick Jamie Collins at 52 and not 29? And he said that in the email he sent me that they should have done that.
They should have taken him at 29.
It was a stupid move to take him at 52 and not 29. To which I just did not respond because that's ridiculous. Why would you take a guy at 29, pay him $29 when you can get the same guy at 52?
And get more picks if you have more picks.
Does he explain himself?
No.
Okay, well, let me play devil's advocate.
Paul's going to explain.
You know
Paul
how
knows
I
can, idiocy.
I could pick a fight with Fred like over anything, so... Let me play, what's the guy's name?
Harry Mann.
Harry Mann.
Sounds like
I'm going to play Harry Mann for a second here. You can't guarantee at 29. Let's just say that we know that Jamie Collins is the guy they liked. They would have taken him at 29. They liked him that much, but they thought they could get him at 52. And they were right. You can't guarantee that he was going to be available at 52. So maybe Harry's saying... again, I'm not advocating this. I'm playing devil's advocate.
You seem to be.
Maybe Harry is saying, if you really liked the guy, take him at 29 when you know you can get him. Don't roll the dice and take unnecessary risk.
Right.
Maybe that's what he said.
I don't think that's what he said in the first one.
No, he didn't say it.
No, he said, why would you take, flat out said what Fred said. Why would you take him at 52? You could have taken him at 29. Made no sense at all.
And
I'm with Fred on this
one. You got to factor in the fact that they got three extra picks. I mean, that's, I don't understand his reasoning. He's been very critical of me.
Think before you write.
This is now the second time that he's written about that. And I still don't understand where he's coming from.
Nice goal, huh?
Harry from West Hartford. This is another Harry. There's been only four Super Bowl winning quarterbacks aged 36 or older. Johnny Unitas, Jim Plunkett, John Elway, who did it twice, 37 and 38. Tom Brady turned 36 this August. We feel our usual optimism about the 2013 season, but the sobering reality is that the window is fast closing and there may not be notice when it does. None of the age 36-plus Super Bowl winners were near their prime skills when they won. They did so with guile, great running games, and premier defenses. Old players, even the great ones, do not usually age gracefully. Have the Patriots done all they could to make what could very well be one final Brady run? Have they surrounded this 36-year-old quarterback with a Super Bowl-caliber team, or are they expecting a 36-year-old quarterback to carry the team to a Super Bowl victory?
I don't know.
Well, let's look at these guys that he just mentioned. Johnny Unitas, John Elway, Jim Plunkett. You know, I was a big Elway fan, but I have to say Tom Brady, you know, probably is in better shape than Elway was at the end of his career.
Mm-hmm. Is he surrounded by as many talented players as Elway was, though?
That I'm not getting into because, you know, I don't know. It's hard to say. You know, Elway, certainly they...
What does your gut tell you?
They beefed up that... I'd say it's about the same.
I think it's a much different game.
Yeah, it is. And that's why I say the running game was beefed up for Elway.
Right.
Terrell Davis, you know, in their schemes... It wasn't all on Elway's shoulders like it was earlier in his career.
From a factual standpoint, everything the emailer said was right. But I do think that, you know, at 36 now, I mean, Peyton Manning was 36 last year, and he played at every bit the level that he's been playing at. Certainly a level high enough to get the team the number one seed.
I don't think if 36 is the same as it was 20 years ago.
Well, that's my point. And I think that Brady could
50 years ago
absolutely be conceivably be able to play at a level high enough to win a Super Bowl, even though I agree with the emailer. Have they done everything they can to surround him? I don't think this is the most talent he's had around him in recent years. Certainly not on offense. It's been diminished a little bit. We'll see what happens with the rookies. Maybe they can step in and someone can have a great year. I mean, they brought in about four free agents now at this point with Jenkins, Amendola,
Wilson,
Jones,
mm-hmm.
and who's the guy from?
Oh, you're just talking offense.
The guy from the Titans.
Hawkins.
Yeah. Maybe one of them hit. You know, one of them really hits with Amendola. Knows?
Rod Smith and Ed McCaffrey were very good receivers.
Shannon Sharp.
Could have started for almost anybody at that time. I don't think New England has a player who can start for almost anybody around the league right now.
At receiver.
I
also think Elway was a lot better than people are giving him credit for, even
at that
stage.
Yeah.
He was no longer the running threat that he had been earlier in his career, but he could still throw. And he benefited greatly from Terrell Davis, no question about it.
I don't think you can answer the question of is he surrounded with good talent because I know I've been beating this horse. It's all young players. If the young players don't make jumps, and I'm not mocking anyone here, if Shane Vereen isn't better, and if Gronkowski and Hernandez aren't on the field and good, and if, you know, on defense, Jones, we might at the end of this year go, wow, they had some good young talent on that roster. If those guys don't make jumps, then no, this is not a Super Bowl caliber talented roster.
Let's say 2 years ago, the Patriots. You know, Welker catches that ball and the Patriots beat the Giants.
Or we'll say Brady makes a good throw, okay?
Okay, either way, would you have said that year that Brady carried that team?
Yeah.
Okay.
A significant weight. I mean, I don't know about totally 100% carry, but yeah.
He carried the team to the Super Bowl.
And I think this year he's going to have to carry a big chunk. That's what Paul talks about. He stinks in the postseason. He can't put together the string of games where he wins in the postseason.
Why do you say it in so much more negative fashion than I do?
Because I don't pussyfoot around like you do. But I'm not afraid to say what I mean.
No, because I don't just say he stinks. I'm not John Tortorella.
But you think it.
No,
who's
I don't.
John Tortorella? Oh, the Rangers coach.
Wow.
That was a goddamn big goal right there.
We were just talking about him.
I forget a quick. Easy.
You forget a quick?
I forget a quick. I don't remember.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Big Al's in Valdosta, Georgia. Hey, Big Al.
Fellas, how you doing?
Albert.
Good.
Andy Hart news from Valdosta State women's softball. Back to the College World Series again.
Woo! More importantly.
Is that Division II?
You dating any of them?
Division II. Okay. Defending champs, and we're back to defend.
Because I believe Andy's alma mater won the Division III title. Tufts.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure on that, but I think that's...
And I'm not even banging anybody on the team.
Oh, jeez.
Now, we don't have Buster Posey's younger sister on the team.
But you had her, correct?
Oh, we had last year, correct.
You had her.
Well, now that's just a rumor, Andy.
You heard it here. Big Al, last year.
Buster might know some people. You know what I mean? I mean, yeah, then I could be in trouble if Buster, you know, sends for me. But
cleats on or off?
We replaced her, you know, both in looks. We had a better looking team this year, and I think more talent out there. So we're a threat. You never know what happens in a short series, but I think we're a threat to
quite a little powerhouse you built down there, huh?
Well, you know what happens, and you might know. Of course, in Division II, I'm sure it's the same in Division III, there's no transfer rule. So when you win a championship, it's like you don't even have to recruit kids. They come knocking on your door. Particularly Division II, we're not going pro in anything. So, you know, you win a championship, all of a sudden you got three kids that are good that want to transfer to your place.
Right.
And it's almost like you become better, you know, after you win. It's a self-fulfilling thing.
Yep, you know, the beast almost feeds itself.
Exactly. So, anyways, listen, and you know, I've mentioned in the past, I'm actually, even though I call from, you know, I'm living in Georgia, I'm very far away from Atlanta, about 4 hours from Atlanta, only 2 hours from Jacksonville. And, you know, you were mentioning earlier, why would the Jaguars roll the dice on Kyle Love, particularly in the way that they did and, you know, all this. All I can tell you is this, and this is just reading the tea leaves and I might be totally off base, but I'm not a theologian. I don't know what the Christian version is of a jihad, but it is going on right now, directed at the Jacksonville Jaguars to get Tim Tebow down here. Okay? So whatever they can do to change the subject from get Tim Tebow now, immediately, yesterday, sign him.
He's available, right?
You know, whatever they can do to change that subject, I think the Jaguars are going to do it.
Now, is that an organic crusade, or is that being led by columnists and talk radio?
Both. It is like the tornado yesterday in Oklahoma. It's outside influence and feeds itself, I guess. Cataclysmic.
Yeah, but if they didn't do it immediately, they can't do it now.
In self-defense, have got to do things to change the subject. And I think this is one of those things. Personal.
Yeah. I hope not for their sake. I hope they're not making any moves other than they think the guy can help them play football and they need a player.
Or moving out of Jacksonville.
Did the Patriots not kind of violate some sort of unspoken code with the Jake Ballard signing?
There were some who believed that.
Yeah, some believe that, yeah.
You know, they don't because they violated the same code a number of times.
Okay.
That's how they got Josh.
And it's been done to them.
Whatchamacallit?
Barrett
a couple years ago from Denver.
Yeah.
Okay.
And didn't Cincinnati Cincinnati did it to some other team.
I have always have been very skeptical of these, what we call these unwritten rules, you mm-hmm. know. Yeah, look, if it's a worthwhile rule, put it in writing. If it's that good, don't tell me you've got an unwritten rule. If it's good, write it down. You know.
Well, but there's a variety of them. Sometimes, you know, if you all remember, there was the Bill Parcells rule that they don't go after other teams' free agents if you're part of the Bill Parcells family tree.
Well, if you've got an internal policy that you, if you're on the New England Patriots and you just won't sign a guy that's coached by some coach that you think is a lousy coach, and that's your, from college or something, this is a terrible program, we'll never get a guy from UNLV or something.
No, but the Parcells rule was different. Was he would not sign a player who was a free agent from one of his other disciple-type teams,
his coaching tree.
Okay.
Remember the, they wouldn't go after Adam Vinatieri because Vinatieri was playing for Belichick.
Gotcha. Well, that's still kind of an internal thing. I'm talking about league-wide things, and some of the stuff you see in baseball, if you dig in too much at the plate, I'm gonna throw your chin.
Yeah.
If you hit a home run off me and you don't put your head down and circle the base, if you wave your arm in the air, that's showing me up. So the next time you're up, I'm gonna drill you. This kind of cheese ball stuff. You know, if it's that good, write it down and make it part of the rule book.
To me, the problem with the rule is I don't understand why you can't put a guy who gets hurt on injury reserve.
Okay.
Whenever you want. That's the part that doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't make any sense for a team to put a player on injury reserve that they don't really feel is hurt at July 27th. You have all of training camp. You need these bodies. If he's not hurt, it doesn't help your team to put him on injury reserve.
But what if he's mildly hurt?
Right.
You don't want to put him on injury reserve then?
All the time.
No, but if he's a young developmental player, I think you could definitely see that. Now, from a player's perspective, you collect a paycheck.
As a team that does that, you lose his services for the rest of training camp.
No, but you didn't plan.
You don't have that development time. He's on injury reserve.
Right, but you'll. Yeah, I think teams would.
Like Jake Ballard, to me. Yeah, well, to me, I think that's better than having to do what Denver and the Giants did in losing players that they wanted because they needed players to replace them during training camp.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. You have guys that have serious injuries that can't go right to IR because they have to clear waivers first. That makes no sense to me.
And that happens in baseball.
I don't think it's in the team's best interest to put a guy who doesn't really deserve to be on injury reserve on August 1st.
Well,
now I get your point, Andy. You're stashing the guy to hide him and all that stuff.
Well, but what does the month make a difference?
Because you lose the guy's services for training camp when that's valuable time for a young guy.
No, but they're also.
You don't want to do that unless you have to.
I don't think they would just do it to somebody who has nothing. I'm talking about a guy sprains, pulls a hamstring and he's going to miss 8 to 10 days, and they really can't afford to be without a body at receiver for 8 to 10 days. They've already lost the development time for that 8 to 10 day period, but they kind of want to keep him around. So
they're not going to release him.
They throw him on IR.
Right, but they're not going to release him then if they want to keep him because they think he's going to be back. I'm talking about a guy who's not. They're not going to put him on IR for 8 to 10 days. They're not going to lose him for the rest of it. They'll wait the 8 to 10 days and then get another week out of him. To practice him. I'm talking about the guy who's out. He's not going to play. But you have to release him. And he has to go through waivers like Ballard did. Like Jake Barrett did. Josh Barrett.
Yeah.
I don't think it's in the team's best interest to put a guy who's not hurt severely enough on injury reserve during training camp. If he doesn't belong on injury reserve. I don't think that helps the team that's putting him on IR. I don't think teams will manipulate it as much. Because like I told you, I think that you want to develop that. That's the time for young guys.
But he's hurt.
But he's not hurt badly enough to go on IR.
No, but in training camp, if you miss a week, you've missed a significant portion of time. And there are plenty of injuries that are 5 days, 7 days, a week.
What I'm telling you is if you want to put him on IR, that doesn't help you.
No, but you can keep him for moving forward.
And I think you should be able to. I think that's right. I think you should be able to keep the guy.
Okay.
I don't think you should have to lose a guy because he got hurt. Now I can't replace the guy. Or I have to make my decision. I either expose him to waivers or I have to keep him and go a player short in training camp. I don't think that makes sense for the team. I don't think teams would manipulate it as much as you think they would.
Oh, I do. I don't trust coaches.
Best interest. I think they would do what helps them more.
Oh, but I think that helps them. It allows them to keep a larger group of young, uncertain players.
As opposed to having to cut the guy. How does that help them? Who does that help? It doesn't help the player.
Wait, what?
As opposed to having to cut the guy and have him go through waivers. It doesn't help the player, and it doesn't help the team.
He could get a new job.
But he...
If you're a team and you want to retain a guy, you're not sure what he is. You want to work with him for a year or two, like Cliff Kingsbury, who had this shoulder injury that not even Cliff Kingsbury knew about.
But that's a different thing. He didn't do that during training camp. They did it at the end.
No, because they can't.
No. Well, they can, but he would have to pass through waivers.
Right, and you might lose him.
But he participated in camp the whole way.
Right, but if he
then
passes
at the end of
through
camp,
waivers,
they came up with some mysterious shoulder injury. That's different.
Right, if you pass a guy through waivers, there's a good chance you're going to lose him because there's a good chance somebody's going to want him if he's close to good enough.
I understand.
But how would someone protect a player without and still have the roster spot, Paul? What's the alternative?
You put him on IR.
Right.
and you can get the roster spot.
But I don't think the players want teams to have the ability to put 8, 10, just, you know.
Yeah, see, I don't
think sprained an ankle.
I don't think
IR.
That, I don't think that would happen because I don't think that's in the team's best interest to put a bunch of guys on IR that they don't really have any interest
in. Oh, I think to keep them away from other teams, yeah.
No, but, I don't believe that. No. I think it's because I don't think they have a bit of knowledge as to whether most of these guys are going to pan out or not.
Oh, I don't think they do either.
They think in the first 2 years, okay, now I'll decide this guy's good, and if I can work with him, if I can find a way to keep more guys in that group, I'm going to hit on the studs. I'm not going to miss on guys I accidentally let go of.
I think that young guys that they have no idea about are still going to get released. They're still going to make them, like Carlos Dunlap. What's the guy's name? What was the Dunlap? Chris Dunlap.
Chris Dunlap.
Oh,
that guy's,
yeah.
That guy's still getting released. The guy that the coaches have no idea about, they're still getting released. They're not going to put him on IR because they're not going to waste it.
But they wouldn't keep a guy.
Jake Ballard is going to get put on IR.
I think like but having Bo Harness, IR, you know, a seventh-round pick who may or may not be good.
He might get put on IR.
But having unlimited
but the vast majority of these guys are going to get released anyway.
Having unlimited IR does make it an easier decision. It's like
well,
it you're
is.
On the
you
fence.
You have unlimited IR.
No.
You
but
just have
he's
to
saying
it on your cap.
If you don't have to pass him through waivers. It gives you an option
yeah,
that
but
you
all
don't
you have, to
have.
Do, but you can do that. All you have to do is wait till the end of training camp, and then he doesn't
right.
have to get
That's
exposed.
That's why I personally don't think it's exposed. A big deal. You have 90 guys. How many do you need? 95? 100? 150? I mean, at what point do you have enough guys?
I just don't think that it's – I don't think you should have to be put in a situation where you're short at a position in training camp like the Giants were last year and you have to lose a player that you don't want to lose.
See, that's where I disagree because I find it hard to believe the Giants couldn't have made a move somewhere else if they really wanted to keep Jake Bell.
I mean, I don't know their roster that intimately, so I don't know.
I generally think that I could go through every team in the NFL in August and cut guys and say, irrelevant. Jag, number 88 on the roster. Only one who cares is his mother.
Let me give you a couple of tidbits just looking at my Twitter.
Don
Robert Banks says that a lot of pushback coming back from football operations departments on the May draft date for after 14. Evidently, that's going to be after
14.
After 14, that's not going to be
not
next
for next
year.
Season.
League source predicted it will inspire, quote, a big battle. Robert says about Robert Gronk. Kraft about Love. I called him Love Bundle. That's all he said
that
about
was Tommy Curran.
About the release of Kyle Love. I called him Love Bundle.
I thought that was Tom Curran saying he said that to Robert.
Kraft on release of Love, quote, do you know I called him Love Bundle? That's what I called him, Love Bundle.
I thought that was Tom being
and
snarky.
Tom says, and that was all.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
I read it really quickly. I thought Tom was saying
that
to Robert.
I'm reading verbatim off the tweet. If that's not what he meant, then I guess I misread it.
Well, he often screws those up, though, remember? What was that one he screwed up?
Then you have one on Gronk. By
Brady. Somebody close to Brady was mad. I'm not saying Brady's mad. Someone close to Brady was mad.
Yes. One of the all-time classics.
This is Robert commenting on Gronkowski. We think long-term he still should be great. We'll see.
Should?
Yeah.
Should.
Yeah.
So he's not fine.
Right. The report, and now talking about the most recent surgery on the forearm, the report we got was very positive. I've learned in the medical area you can't always predict everything, but it came out positive.
I also don't really care for the fact that they weren't going to know for 7 days if the infection was gone, but then everybody said, oh, there was no infection. Mm. You know, we'll find out for sure in 7 days, but there was no infection. You don't know that.
Finally, Gronkowski's
but
a great...
we don't even know if that report about the 7 days was right.
I don't know.
That's the problem.
Well, that's what the doctor said.
that's
why we're going
but
by the
doctor
on that. A doctor said it would take a week.
A doctor. That's... Some, you know, we always see these guys that get an injury,
right, well,
and then
I'm gonna,
some
no,
doctor's
no, 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 no.
not even.
But this is different.
Here's what I'm going to go with.
They know how long the test takes.
I'm going to assume that this medical source that the Herald keeps referencing has been the same medical source all along, and so far everything that medical source said has been right.
I don't even care about that. Like, if you go to the doctor, they know how long it takes for the strep test to come back or the X test.
Well, that's what I'm
saying.
They
know how long an infection.
So I don't
test
know if
comes.
It's the doctor that's actually operating on Gronk.
But I don't even care about that. I think a doctor
for the
it's
Herald,
like a mechanic should
right.
know the hours it takes to change a tire or whatever. They know their industry.
Yeah.
There are certain things that are fact.
Yeah, and half the time those tests don't come back because they're backlogged.
I don't think Rob Gronkowski's is going to be backlogged.
Exactly. That's my point.
So it takes a week.
So it takes a week.
Or not, it may not,
not
because
not
it's
two,
Rob Gronkowski.
Not two like it might take yours. You know.
God, I hate you.
He also
like,
said,
why do you have to take every single story that's written that doesn't say that the Patriots won the Super Bowl and rip it to shreds?
Because
are you mad at Robert because he said should be fine and not will be fine.
And he also said, I hope we have him back for the
Robert didn't say he is fine, like you said. He said we hope so.
He also said, I hope we have him for the full season back.
Robert acknowledging that not a guarantee.
He doesn't know.
He hopes.
But you do.
You said he's fine.
He doesn't know.
You said he's fine. He knows he's not necessarily fine.
I promised myself I wouldn't do it.
Tony's in Pensacola.
How come
Florida?
The owner can be honest and you can't?
Hey, Tony, how you doing?
Hey, guys.
That's why owners own and renters rent.
I want to talk to you about what happened yesterday. That signing, not only did we get another wide receiver, but another Rutgers player, Harrison.
Yes.
How do you feel about him?
Know nothing about him.
This is the guy.
He's injured.
I don't.
He's injured.
He was on a bike today, right?
He was on a bike, I believe, today. So there's an injury concern there. But he had a really good season a couple years ago. Been productive.
On his 40 time, he ran like a 4.34 or something like that.
Oh, I don't know. Could be. I haven't done my research enough on him yet, but
I can't pretend. I don't know.
He was productive a couple years ago, has been good production for the most part, and is injured. And is from Rutgers. We know that's good.
What's that? Is that eight? Seven?
Seems like everybody comes from Rutgers. Seven. Want to go to the Patriots, go to Rutgers.
That word.
Right. But, hopefully his foot's all right. And how do you feel about him, Boyce, and whoever else stretching the field this year? I mean, hopefully Tom's still got the arm.
Well, he says he feels as good as he ever has at this time or whatever. And, I'm intrigued. The problem is, like I told Paul yesterday, one of the things I wanted to see was just Boyce out there. Well, he wasn't out there. He's still coming back from a foot injury. And, you know,
at least he did have a helmet on, though, and was actually participating, unlike in rookie minicamp when he was just standing watching.
But I want to see him run by somebody.
No,
I
want to
see him beat somebody. I want to see speed. I don't want to see Michael Jenkins, the guy getting down the field.
I agree. I'm just saying we made progress from rookie camp.
Right. Razai Dowling, by the way, was out there. You never know with him. He was out there playing.
It's funny when you note a guy for actually being in uniform.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Sebastian Vollmer wasn't. We handed him a boatload of money because he's fine and he's going to be great and he's fine. And, you know, Paul Perillo broke his own rule and didn't blacklist him because of a back injury, but he's hurt.
Thanks, Tony. Let's see.
I don't even understand what you're talking about.
Jan
you
from
like
Australia writes in.
I love Gronk, too, but I'm worried about both of their backs.
No, I know, but then you said you were fine giving Vollmer $9 million guaranteed or whatever the hell it was.
Was it that much?
Ish.
I thought he got a very team-oriented contract.
No. He got a lot of money.
Vollmer?
He's making $8 or $9 million guaranteed.
I think they can get out of Vollmer.
Yeah, and leave him with the $8 or $9 million.
Well, what's wrong with that?
That's a lot of money for a guy who doesn't play. He was held together
play this year.
Are you sure? How do you know? As of right now, we don't know that for sure. Is he fine?
All right, I'm
is he fine?
Listen,
you're asking
is
the wrong
fine?
Guy. You're
going
to ask him if
is
he's
he fine.
I'm going to go channel my inner
How's
Fred
feel,
Kirsch.
Paul?
I'm going to channel my inner Fred Kirsch now. Do you know that Brady's going to play this year?
He's fine.
Do you know he's going to play?
He was a full participation.
Do you know he's going
to
play?
Are you comparing the guy who didn't practice to
Do
the guy who did?
You
Are you comparing the guy
gonna
who didn't practice
answer the, I'm gonna
and
be
has
you. Answer
only
the
missed games
answer the question.
Once in his career?
Do you know he's going to play?
I do.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't. You can't possibly know what's going to happen between now and September.
I know more that can't Brady will play than
Next
Homer.
Question. Move on.
See, now you're just – he's ignoring the facts.
That's what you're doing.
No, I'm not.
Do you honestly
There's one
think
guy who's missed one season because of one injury. That's the only games he's missed due to injury. The other guy who's not practicing, by the way. When Brady is practicing, by the way, the first time we see them practice for the year, has missed endless games with endless injuries, including a back injury that's been recurring.
Aaron Would you Dobson say that missed, even yeah. in the years, every year that Brady has played, he's been fine?
Wait, what?
Injury-wise, health-wise?
What do you mean by fine?
Aha.
But he plays.
But was he fine?
No.
Okay.
Most NFL players after week one are not fine.
Yeah, and I don't think that Vollmer will be fine. But I think he'll play more often than not.
Exactly.
Way more often
You
want to
bet?
Not. Yeah, I think
way more often than not.
Yeah,
so you say he plays at least 12 games.
I'll put the over-under at 11.
I like 12.
12. All right.
Okay.
12.
Lunch bet.
I like it.
Boom.
I like it. It's a good one.
Paul says he plays 12 or more games. I say he plays less than 12.
Note that, Kevin. We have
okay.
one.
That's
one,
not Kevin.
That's Flash.
We'll call him. Hey, how you doing, Pepe?
Hey, good to see you.
He literally didn't see him.
I didn't. So that's our first prop bet this year.
Big guy.
Is that good?
Over
lunch,
under,
Andy, we good?
Yes.
12 or more.
Over
yes.
under lunch. For Vollmer, 12 games.
Yes.
So if he plays 12 or more, we go to Davio's. If
now
he plays
this,
11 or fewer, we go to Subway.
Guys.
Does this count postseason?
No, Five Guys is expensive.
This is regular season? Five Guys is expensive.
Oh, it's not that bad.
But no, but it's not
for
cheap.
For a fast food joint, it's pretty expensive.
You get a burger and fries and a drink, and you're at like 14 something.
It's pretty good.
That's expensive to just get fast food.
Yeah, it should be under $10.
Are we counting postseason or are we saying regular season?
No,
games?
Regular season.
Okay.
I won't.
Because you know, according to Chris Ferrera, they're not making the postseason. So.
No, he really didn't
yes.
say that.
Eight and eight, second place in the division.
Yeah.
Actually, and you allowed this?
I wasn't there when he did
it. How come if I ever said something like that, you'd be all over me?
I love it when he's wrong. It's so often.
I know. Just look at the website.
No, I'm talking about football. He's a very good webmaster.
He used to be one of the very best.
He's very good. Belichick is very good drafting.
He's as good as webmastering as Bill Belichick is this draft in drafting.
Wow.
Yeah, no, he's not.
What a nightmare. Is he damning him with faint praise there?
Yeah. Now, what about Haku?
You be the judge.
I think Belichick does a very, very good job drafting as a whole. Overall body of work is very good, Fred. I'm on record.
I think Haku is really the
brains on record is getting criticized for being in the Patriots' pocket.
Haku doesn't get the credit he deserves. He holds that operation together.
Jan in Australia, longtime listener, caller, and 11th time emailer.
11th time emailer. So congratulations. Do we have anything special for the 11th time emailer?
No, you got to be
sex with Eric.
Oh, for God's sakes.
I've been listening to every show and want to just say that you guys are all still doing an excellent job with the podcast. It makes traveling to and from university or college for you, Fred, much easier. I have a bone to pick with Eric that I have been dying to email you guys about, and it's due to the draft shows. Eric, please understand that it's not journalism when you report 3 seconds before the commissioner announces the pick that so-and-so has picked a particular player. If you really want to break news to others, post it on your Twitter and call it breaking news for the next 3 seconds. There is absolutely no point in going to the commissioner and hearing him introduce the pick if you spoil the pick a couple of seconds before, end of rant. Now I have a game for you guys, which is totally unfootball-related.
Do you want
related.
Eric to respond? No. It's not even worth it anymore. These people are such losers.
The game is shoot shag, which means doing the dirty, or marry.
Shoot shag means?
Shag.
Oh, shoot, comma, shag. Okay.
It's shag, marry, kill.
Okay. Shoot shag.
I thought it was a shoot shag.
Right.
One thing.
Okay, number one. Andy will love this game. Shoot, shag, or marry Katy Perry, Rihanna, and Brooklyn Decker. Shoot, shag, or marry.
Well, I'm shooting Rihanna because I can't stand her.
Yeah, I'm shooting Rihanna. That's the easy one.
The other two would be, it doesn't matter.
I'm shagging Katy Perry because I think she's a little off. And Brooklyn Decker, I'm marrying.
Yeah, I think Andy's got that right. Okay. I think Katy Perry would also be interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean...
Adventuresome?
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah.
Probably got purple pubes and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, well, that's not necessarily something that was turning me on it in any way, shape, or form.
Next one.
I've never had Giselle sex with a girl Bundchen. Who had purple pubes.
Doesn't mean I want to.
The next one. Giselle Bundchen, Jessica Alba, Halle Berry.
Another easy one.
Shoot.
Kill Giselle.
Yeah, get rid of Giselle. Lights on, water's off.
Nobody said
whole
kill,
thing.
Paul. It just said shoot, right?
Yeah.
So well, assuming in America, it's F.
We
Mary
could injure
kill.
Her.
And it's a kill shot I'm taking. Marry.
Yeah, I'm definitely shooting to kill.
I'm gonna marry. Ooh,
I'm not,
I think
I'm not marrying
crazy.
Halle Berry. Who's the other one?
Jessica Alba.
No, I'll marry Jessica.
Yeah,
Alba.
I agree. Halle Berry's a little crazy.
I think Jessica Alba.
She's
a little crazy.
Crazy. Yeah. Yeah.
I think. Can I just bang them both?
No.
And then I'll marry Alba. I guess
that's not the game.
I know. Finally. I'm playing by the rules.
Actually,
listen. If you can't embrace the spirit of the game, then
I think they're both crazy. They're nuts.
Scarlett Johansson, Kate Upton, Sofia Vergara.
Kill Kate Upton, bang really? Sofia Vergara, and marry Scarlett Johansson.
Okay.
I would kill Scarlett Johansson. I got nothing there.
We all know
I
why.
Would bang Sofia, whatever her name is, and marry Kate Upton.
Okay.
Although she's going to get fat, and now I'm going to have a fat wife.
I think she's annoying, Kate Upton.
And finally for Eric, George Clooney,
she wouldn't
Clooney,
be annoying
Matt
if she
Damon
was riding your schlong.
Well, I mean, are we going to embrace the spirit of this game or not?
What? Who? What?
You guys stepped on the joke.
Just,
sorry.
Finally, for
wasn't
Eric,
a joke.
George
it wasn't
Clooney,
funny.
Clooney, Matt Damon,
it was stupid.
And Tom
it was trite.
Well, I would shoot Tom Cruise.
Yes.
Bang George Clooney and marry Matt Damon.
Mark
Tate. You were awfully quick with that.
Mark Tate. Seriously.
I think it's pretty easy.
You've given it some thought. Huh?
Well, I hate Tom Cruise.
Have you seen Tom Cruise's junk?
I would shoot him no matter what.
Junk?
Have you seen George Clooney's junk?
And Matt Damon just seems like a good, normal, good guy.
He's a little bit Fred's type for my liking, but
liberal.
Yeah.
Oh well, you know I can deal with that. George Clooney, I think I don't know.
He's just very liberal.
He's just gonna cheat.
I do like Matt Damon.
Matt
like
Damon, I'd want to marry.
Matter of fact, I watched Bagger Vance last night.
That's probably his least
baggy,
known
baggy
movie.
Pants.
Bagger Vance,
Legend of Bagger Vance. You know,
how come you
that?
Didn't answer any of those?
I know nothing blew up in it. Did you watch it?
No.
I don't know if there was much CGI in it, so you might not have been interested.
Wow.
Smug Paul.
What other kind is there? They deigned to develop a character and actually, you know,
let a story be told.
Right. But he sees these epic movies, Andy, and says, no interest.
It's not even worth arguing.
It really
about.
Isn't. You're
it's
right. Not, I'm sorry. You're right. I shouldn't go there.
Right.
Why? You guys don't make fun of me for all the movies that I don't like?
We're not close-minded.
Of course
that,
you are.
No.
Are you actually
no.
saying I don't have a wider breadth of movie
I admit
taste
that I'm close-minded. You guys don't.
But we're not. I see
actually,
all kinds of movies.
Fred sees a lot of kinds of movies.
I see comedies. I see action.
Like,
I see
romance. What was that one you were talking about the other day? Prometheus?
Yeah.
I'll give it to you.
Right.
I saw Silver Linings in the movie theater.
I just said to you, I'll give that to you.
What
you
did you think
a lot
of
different
like
kinds
it.
Of movies.
Movie.
I really want to see that.
Capello said, best movie of 2012 by far.
I disagree.
Which Argo would be the
nothing,
answer to
nothing,
that.
Nothing blew up in it.
It was a good movie, but it wasn't the best.
You're going to have a good argument with him about that, though.
D in Maine says, I'm wondering why Gronk needs a plate in his arm at all. Having dealt with orthopedic physicians for most of my adult life, they have always said when you break a bone, new bone forms around that break, making the bone stronger. And having seen x-rays of this, again, why the need for a plate in the arm?
I don't know. It happens all the time. Terrence Wheatley.
He had
rods in both arms and broke one. And, you know, there's reasons why people keep these things in. I'm not a doctor, and I don't know. How did that person, having worked with dog, what does that mean? You go to the
Maybe
doctor,
a nurse,
a lot,
or a
you
married
to a
professional?
Doctor? Are you a receptionist? Are you the lunch delivery guy that brings it to the doctor's office a lot? I mean,
I'm going out on a limb saying that person's just a klutz and has to go to the orthopedic surgeon a lot.
That would be funny. He just falls down a lot.
You ever see that movie with Bruce Willis, Unbreakable?
I actually just thought of that. That scares me that you and I were,
So it's a comic movie, isn't it?
It's based on a guy.
Based
who,
on a guy.
The villain is someone who's really.
But it's like, was it a comic book? Or was it just the character was?
Yeah, they use comics. Within it.
Yes.
Yeah. Joel in Merrimack, New Hampshire. Good old show as always. Haven't written in a few weeks because I really didn't have much to talk about.
Neither did we.
However, with the releases and the injury situation, I have to admit I am not the Johnny Sunshine I normally am. There are so many question marks across the board, offense and defense, that I really don't know what to expect this season. It may be all and well that they got rid of Welker because he was Brady's crutch, but if Gronk and Hernandez are less than 100% and Amendola stubs another toe, we have problems. I was watching Brewski on ESPN this morning while I was at the gym, and he made a very telling comment about a sign in the locker room that read something to the effect, durability is more important than ability. And right now, I don't see a lot of durability in our receiving core. And given that we are primarily a passing team, I don't think this bodes well. Corey Dillon ain't walking through that door. I'm going to take a wait-and-see attitude, but I'm leaning a little towards the ledge right now. Think there is any chance they call Seymour, or does he want too much money? Keep it up.
I doubt it.
Andy and I took a shot at the Seymour situation on Debate Friday. I don't think it's going to happen. I advocated for it. Andy was against it. But interesting that he brought up Corey Dillon not walking through that door. What'd you guys think of Blunt? He's an imposing dude.
Oh, yeah.
Big dude, yeah.
I mean, I know that, newsflash, 240-pound back was big. You know, but he's a big guy.
Not as big as that other guy I liked.
Just so tough, when
I don't know. The big guy who walked by with big arms.
Oh, well, that was the defensive lineman.
But that was the Charrington guy, wasn't
he?
Was that Charrington?
Did he have a huge chest?
Yeah, well, it was a big guy. Like,
he looked big
everywhere.
Like Farrell. Like
he was
Farrell
one of those guys that, one of those undrafted rookies.
So
that.
Andy got another chubby with a guy with big
arms.
Oh,
it was unbelievable. And you know how Andy always makes fun of people in crowds?
Right.
Well, I got some random guy to laugh. I go, all you care about is arm size, and some guy next to us started laughing.
Dan writes in, haven't been able to email or call lately with my new schedule, but still keeping up. I was curious if there were backup tight ends present at OTAs with a possible fifth surgery looming for Gronk and Hernandez's issues, both health and ability related. On a football note, I wanted to express my disappointment in Fred's Indiana Jones cooler than Han Solo. So what, he's got a whip. That makes him more of an S&M enthusiast than anything. In episode 3, the best film, I don't even know who you are anymore. Everyone knows that Empire is the superior film, after which you take your pick as long as you don't pick episodes 1 or 2, which suck. I couldn't believe I found myself agreeing with Eric.
Oh, that sucks. No.
I missed this whole
thing.
Was this a conversation that happened that show that I missed?
Dan's just wrong on all counts. But getting back to whether or not there were backup tight ends,
yeah, Ballard really was out there,
Sudfeld was out there, Fells was out there.
I think, I'm not positive on this, but I think Fells had a very good practice today.
Could it have been Dobson?
I don't think so.
I don't know. I'm just asking. Don't yell at me.
I don't think so. It seemed like a lot of stuff was going down. I thought they had some good connections down the seam. And again, like Fred said earlier in the show, it was way on the opposite field. I couldn't tell.
Just say Fells. Just say it like
I thought
it's fact.
It was, I thought
Fells
it was Fells.
Had a phenomenal practice.
I thought
because I told you he's the best third tight end.
I thought
in
he looked very active, and I thought he.
Then if you get it wrong, you can say, "Well, they had no numbers."
I thought he had several hookups with Brady today.
Really? Should Giselle be worried?
It's always on his mind. Brent in Illinois, I'm more confident about Gronk and his future, as Andy has made a blanket statement that he will never be the same player. This reminds me of
No. I said he'll never be what he could have been.
This reminds me of Andy's statement that Kevin Faulk was done and washed up.
No, see, you don't really listen. Diminishing skills.
So with his track record, I'm happy.
Yeah, you should be happy. Your ears are not working very well.
You don't know this well enough, emailer, because Andy plays the Michael Felger role, and he sets it up in such a way that he can't possibly be wrong. He says he'll never be what he could have been, which is
and you'll never know what he could have been.
Completely undefinable.
If he has 400 career touchdowns, I'll say he could have
had five.
Right. He can't be wrong.
He can't be wrong.
Right.
Well, I can be.
It's exactly what Felger does.
In this case, I can't be. But
you can look at all the – you can go back and look at the number of touchdowns he dropped, you know, passes he dropped in the end zone, and you could have said, well, a good Gronk might have been able to catch that. You can't really – I mean, you can't assume that he's going to get the ball thrown to him.
He's not going to play 16 games a lot of years. He's not going to play well into his 30s. He's not going to be the dominant force he once was. He's going to start to slow down.
Oh, I agree with you. I agree with
you. Creak and croak and crone.
But in all fairness, you said that before he got hurt.
Yes, in all fairness.
As in disease.
I was ahead of the curve, as I generally am on these matters. And you yelled at me and said I was wrong, and now you're catching up to my line of thinking.
I should point out that the Andy Hart blanket evaluation of the day came 24 seconds into OTA today.
It's the Andy Hart wet blanket observation.
Well, I do find it fascinating that Andy makes these snap judgments on guys based on some random thing. Michael Jenkins today was Andy was thumbs down on 24 seconds into OTAs.
Okay.
And I had to admit that he was thoroughly unimpressive today, but
he can't catch. KK.
Okay. Melvin in Tennessee. So is Gronk or Brandon Spikes more okay? Which one?
Gronk at 10% is more okay.
Nathan from Southern California. Any news
Spikes
about
Spikes is
Abraham?
More okay because, as far as we know, he's not dealing with an injury.
But we really have no idea. He could be.
As far as we know,
he could be dealing with an injury. It could be anything. I got to think there's a story here. The story is not holding out. I just can't fathom that.
Any
you
news
guys
on
are probably
John
right. I just think it's weird.
Freeney is a Charger.
Yep.
Correct.
So
for more money than I would have been willing to give him, by the way.
Yeah,
unless that's a fake contract.
No Freeney is still free to sign. I mean, Abraham is still free to sign here.
What about Israel Adonijé? Got to ask PFW about him. Could he be a cut rate Abraham?
Sure. Mm. And you'll get cut rate production.
He's got 20 and a half sacks over the last three seasons playing full time. He wasn't a full time player before that.
I'll take Abraham. But after that, yes. Then I would. If Abraham signs elsewhere, then we start going to those guys.
Phil in Nova Scotia.
Well, clearly, Abraham's looking for more money than we want to give him.
Well, insert name of player here.
It's true.
The only person who wasn't looking for more money than we want to give him is Tom Brady, and that's how we got the extension he got.
Phil in Nova Scotia. Hey, Fred, did you hear Howard Stern's joke about the Jets yesterday? It's how are tampons and the Jets alike neither have a second string. Oh, that's not funny.
Wait, I don't get it.
Yeah, I think the Jets have a lot of second stringers. They just don't have any first stringers.
Right. Yeah, they that's the problem. Oh, did you guys see the thing I retweeted from ESPN, like stats and information, that I want to say it was like 20, the last 20-something Heisman winners, 16 of them are quarterbacks, and the only one that's won a playoff game is Tim Tebow? It was some huge sampling going back 20-plus years of Heismans, and the only one who's won a playoff game is Tim Tebow.
Poor Tim.
And he can't get a job.
The only one who doesn't have a job right now is Tim Tebow.
Well, no, I think there's plenty that don't have jobs.
No,
Eric Crouch.
I'm like, kidding.
There's
I'm
a
kidding.
Heifel or Herfel or
Werfel.
Heifel.
I'll tell you, I wonder what kind of blackballing they used to keep all those guys out of the NFL. That's a good point that you bring up. Right?
Will Tim Tebow play
those guys
in the
were
NFL
all blackballed out of the NFL.
No.
No. I don't think he will either at this point.
That's a shame.
A team would have signed him.
Josh Heupel.
Well, part of it's
right?
his fault.
No, he wasn't. It wasn't hype.
I mean, if the reports from Schefter are right and teams contacted and say, will you play tight end? And he said no.
Right.
Go screw.
That's what Eric Crouch did. And he got booted out of the league. Remember, they didn't want him to be a quarterback. They wanted him to be a receiver or a safety or something. He said,
Jason
no,
Jason White, right? Never got a chance in the NFL.
Jason White had the knees of a 90-year-old man.
Yeah, he's blackballed.
No, they're all white.
Andrew and Ukraine, the other night I had a dream that Team PFW...
I like the Fred scoff.
The other night I had a dream that Team PFW was discussing the Gobi Desert, which was on fire. Don't ask me how desert burns. It's a dream. Eric chimed
in. First tell me where the Gobi Desert is.
Eric chimed in that the Gobi Desert was the shortcut that the revolutionary soldiers took from Boston to New York City. When I woke up, I thought, what do you know? Even in my dreams, Eric is a pseudo-intellect.
Is the Gobi Desert real? Can someone answer it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's the Gobi Desert.
Yeah.
Where is it?
It's a good question. I think it's... No.
So clearly, none of these two know-it-alls know because they would have chimed
in. It's not in between Boston and New York?
No, there's a Gobi Desert, no doubt.
Isn't that somewhere in, like, China or Russia or something?
Yeah, a lot of know-it-alls in this room who don't know it all.
Didn't
why don't you look it up over there, Flash?
What's his name?
Yes.
That
Genghis Khan.
One of those. Genghis Khan or Attila the Hun was involved.
Where'd you come up with that? I don't know.
One of those guys was involved with the Gobi Desert.
I didn't know there was desert in China.
Mongolia.
Like it's in Mongolia.
It's
in Mongolia.
Mongolia.
Yeah, the Mongols.
That's not from New York, yeah, Eric. Even in dreams, you're wrong.
I don't know where you got that from.
Where is the closest desert to us? California?
California.
Or Arizona.
Well, Arizona.
Well,
there must be some desert there.
There's actually desert in Idaho.
Eric's sex life.
Oh! What do you mean? You're making a face, spell. Eric. There's a desert in Idaho.
No, I'm thinking. I'm not making a face.
There's
just
a desert
to
in Idaho?
What's closer?
They grow potatoes in the desert?
There's actually a desert that a little river runs through.
Get out. A river
and
runs
called,
through it?
It's called
Pan. You probably didn't like that movie either.
I fly fish there.
No, you don't. You pretend you fly fish everywhere, and you don't really
you
fly
like that
fish.
Movie?
I fly fished in Idaho. What can I tell you?
You probably didn't like that movie either, right?
What?
A river runs
I
through
like
it?
I like that movie.
Okay. Yeah.
So there's desert in a place where
I got to stop
potatoes.
Making fun of Fred. He's more well-rounded than I thought.
Look at him.
Let's see. In the following personnel groupings, who do you think is most likely to get the Foxborough flu? Wide receivers. Kendrell Tompkins, T.J. Moe, or Mark Harrison?
Well, T.J. Moe, it looks like he's off to a start in that regard.
And Mark Harrison, too.
He didn't do... Yeah, Harrison, well, you had reported that thing about...
I didn't really report anything.
Oh, I thought someone's...
Someone said.
Oh.
I don't make it seem like I'm reporting information. I'm just,
well, I thought you were
I'm not
reporting
like Eric. When I pass information along, I'm just passing it
I thought
along.
You were reporting somebody else's reporting report it. About the physical thing. I didn't, because I didn't know that. I only saw him on a bike.
Kind of only heard somebody say it out. It might have been Zuri Berry in his track record's a little questionable.
T.J. Moe also didn't appear to be doing a whole lot.
Well, he was actually doing a lot, but not participating in practice.
He was wandering aimlessly back and
the
forth.
Sidelines.
I'm not sure exactly what he was doing.
He was like a dog who reached his electric fence, and they wouldn't let him on the
field. My guess is he's dealing with some sort of issue, medical issue.
But he could stick around. I mean, we all know the short white guy around here. He's got a chance.
Defensive tackles, Corey Grissom, Dwayne Cherington, Joe Villano.
If Cherington is the guy I saw with the arms, him.
And defensive ends, Marcus Bernard, Jason Vega, or Michael Buchanan?
Buchanan.
Yeah.
Vega's got no chance, according to Paul Perreault. He is reporting that he has no chance.
Vega was looking good today, though.
And
good practice.
Wait, which one of the Marcuses is that? Is that the one with the NFL history or no?
I believe that's the one with the NFL history. I believe that guy had, like, how many?
Seven and a half?
7.5 sacks one
for
year
the Browns, like, 3 years ago. 10.
Yeah, Marcus Bernard. Yeah.
Bernard, not Forston. Oh, no, Forston.
Forston's
the
young
here.
Guy. Yeah,
so
Forston's
Bernard.
Our guy.
Yeah.
I get them mixed up. I'm sorry. Some guy brought up a name today. I know Zuri Berry. Quentin Hines or something? Never heard the
we
name
just
before.
Signed him, right?
Running back who was cut. Wasn't
I know
it?
Duncan.
Oh, he's not the guy that we just signed?
Quentin Hines was the guy who was in rookie camp, I think, and got cut.
Maybe. We should mention we also now have a kicker. That was one of the things they were lacking, a second kicker. Ruffer from Notre Dame via, where's the other place? William & Mary.
William & Mary.
And,
yeah, he went to William & Mary in Notre Dame. According to the press release, I'm not sure which one.
And who's the other guy? A wide receiver.
Mark Harrison.
I updated the roster tracker for him.
And I'm pretty sure that other people had talked about it, but I did find it funny that the other puncher they brought into camp also a lefty.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's clear he likes lefty punters.
Yeah.
The one guy who wasn't was...
Well, and to his credit, this lefty
Brooks
punter
Bernard.
Was also an All-American.
Oh, so. Yeah. So this guy, two-time Ray Guy Award winner, right?
So that's, I mean, that's...
But he likes lefties. That's, I mean, sure. I believe there's only been like one who wasn't.
You know, that's another one that,
tenure.
You know... Mike Reese has sort of been dancing around a little bit in the offseason that this could be a legitimate push for Mesko.
Yeah, but Mike Reese wanted to can Gostkowski last year.
Yeah, I didn't say he's right with everything he says.
You
but
act like it. He's the Gatto information.
I think he does a pretty good job. How's that?
I think he's wrong sometimes. Do we all have faults.
We're all wrong sometimes. But
I'm not.
Do we have to just kill everybody all the time?
No, I'm just saying.
Ian Rappaport doesn't work here anymore.
You know, you just speculate.
He's the only guy that I kill all the
time. Speculation you got to be careful with. I mean, Greg Bedard wanted to run Shane Vereen out of town at cuts last
year. Speculation you have to be careful with, says Andy.
Right. Imagine that.
Right.
He'll never be the same.
Right. Except when you're reporting on OTA practices where players right. don't have jerseys. Then right. you're allowed to speculate on anything you damn well please.
On draft day, you can go, there right. it is. Pittsburgh's the best team in the AFC.
Stefan.
I just think there's a little bit of a difference when you bring in a guy with this guy's track record. And
guy.
I
How many times
do
you use Ryan, a guy?
Ryan
guy.
Allen. Ryan Allen is the
They all have impressive track records,
no,
or they wouldn't
no.
be in NFL
Chris,
camps.
Chris Copeland was not
He was a kicker, not
there.
A punter.
He was not
he
there.
He was a kicker, not a punter.
He was not
kicker,
there to push Gostkowski. This guy is good enough that he could be here to push Mesko because of his resume.
Resume, schmesume.
He didn't kick 3 field goals at UMass.
Did Mesko have a good year last year?
He did.
I think he was
better year than the year before.
I think he was inconsistent last year, to be honest with you.
Really? Well, it's funny because I looked him up and his net average was terrible.
Well, and part
then,
of that is
but he was plus 50.
No, I know.
Part of that was his blocked too. He got he got a blocked kick.
But and then you look and did you know he had the second fewest return yards of any punter in the NFL?
Yeah. Well,
that's what they like.
That's what you get into the plus.
But
50.
That's what they like.
But you're not going to get plus 50 kicks returned.
But that's what they like.
That's
they
a product
want
of their
non-returns.
Offense. I think any punter is going to have no returns when you punt for the Patriots, because they punt
Wait,
from
what?
The 50 yard line more often than not.
Well, that's the other thing. Did you hear that?
So why do they need someone to push
Aaron Shash thing
then?
That Belichick became a punani last year?
Oh, yeah. That
the
was
most aggressive not coach in like the NFL
20,
in the last 20 years.
23rd
and then he ranked
last
23rd
year?
Last year.
Situation.
Did you happen to hear the discussion about that on the radio?
I think I clicked off. I lost interest.
My God. You talk about not having any like real clue.
What show was it on?
Salk and Holly.
Kind of like their
Check.
Show.
Muy terrible.
I think their show has gotten better under Salk and Holly. You don't? You don't, Fred?
I'm with Fred.
I think
Michael Hawley's personality has somehow
I think Hawley.
I think they're okay, but it's kind of for me it's boring.
I agree with Fred. I think Hawley has been better, but the other guy brings nothing to the table.
Tony?
Nothing.
I mean, I know Felger has his faults, but I want to be entertained. You can't forget that you need to entertain me.
Oh, I'll tell you, they're
I don't want to just talk.
They're in a danger zone right now. By the way,
all day. I want to be entertained.
You've been hearing this, and I know that people don't really.
Wait,
care
you don't
about
find any
Boston
of the
radio.
Stuff on the? I like the gimmicks they brought to the.
The only
Salk
thing
and
I
Molly.
Like is the answer the question.
The
jerk.
4 at 4 and the answer the question
that.
Jerk. I kind of like.
I like answer the question jerk.
I guess I missed it. I haven't.
So you
last,
haven't given it a
that's
fair
the
chance.
Last, the last segment well, they do every day is the answer the question jerk.
I do the same for that as the other one. I listen to what they're talking about. If I don't like it, I switch back.
So you just listen to Felger regurgitate the exact same argument for 5 straight days for 20 hours a week.
But Felger,
that's all he does.
I don't listen enough.
And he beats Tony down, and Tony says nothing
know,
except when he gets his funny voice, and that's the only time he's valuable.
I don't listen to either one of them enough to know what they've been talking about the hour before.
Yeah, see, that's the difference. He only has like 5-minute ride home, whereas you and I are
right.
in the car for an hour.
Right.
But what I don't, what they're going to be in trouble, Felger and Maz, because I don't know if you've been listening. They evidently got slapped on the wrist for their language and stuff like that. That's bad for them because. That you say I don't care, you know, he has his faults, but it's entertaining. They're harmless. They don't swear,
right?
You know, they have the whole thing like when they get, you know, when they like someone, you know, I got a Seidenberg in my pants,
right?
They can't say that anymore.
Really?
They can't say it anymore.
Oh.
And they have little things like that they've obviously been talked to about. That's like the old 15-10. We're going to raise the bar.
Right.
Raising the bar doesn't work on talk
it
radio.
Doesn't.
Does not work.
We're proof of that.
it's
the lower the bar goes, the better you are.
Again, you know it. You know, straight.
We can't get any lower.
Straight, geeky. Let's talk. Let's just talk facts. Sports talk only works for a limited time.
It works for a week.
Yeah.
And then people say, "Okay, what else?"
Barely right. works for like 3-minute radio show. I mean, a video show on the web. Just ask Bilo.
Stefan says, "I'm a
sprinkler offense."
I'm a 16-year-old fan here in London, England. I've been following the Patriots since the 2007 season. On the current roster...
Congratulations, you didn't jump on board in 2001 like everybody else.
Well, he jumped on board during a record-setting season that I'm sure he thought was going to be a championship season.
I know, but he was only 11.
So?
You know,
I didn't kill him.
Andy is.
I'm not killing him.
Does.
On the current
Why are you talking like that?
On the current roster, who would you
Half
say were the most underrated and overrated players on the current roster?
the most overrated and underrated. Paul, why don't you grow a pair?
Overrated and underrated players on the current roster. What am I meowing about?
Who's the most overrated player on the roster?
Aaron Hernandez.
Oh, God, you're a pansy.
Why?
It's the guy he blames every season loss on everything.
Brady?
Yes.
Come on. I don't think Brady's the most overrated guy on the roster.
Aaron Hernandez is the right answer. I'm just disappointed in you.
I'm so glad I got your stamp of approval. Well, I feel validated now.
Right now, Aaron Hernandez is the most overrated player on the roster.
Validated,
actually,
violated.
You know what? Aaron Hernandez has been the most overrated player on the roster. Because somehow he got attached to Gronkowski. They got those two crazy tight ends, Gronkowski and Hernandez. No, one's a run-of-the-mill flex tight end who's athletic and can catch the ball.
And I wouldn't have necessarily said that Hernandez was overrated until that NFL Network thing came out, which I don't think anything of, but 77th on the player, that's unbelievable that Aaron Hernandez ranked that high. He ranked at all.
Now the most underrated.
But, you know, and by the way, you have to be a tough guy to, you know, meet Andy's standards. I'd say Wilfork and Mayo are in the running there behind Hernandez.
Mayo would have had a chance for me. To me, he had a very good year last year.
Yeah,
for me,
Mayo's the most underrated.
He's a $50 million multi-time Pro Bowler who's made less plays than
he's underrated.
Sergio Brown.
Perhaps throw McCourty in there as well.
Underrated?
No, overrated.
Oh. Yeah.
Hey, Mike Reese on ESPN certainly could be insinuating that it's a holdout, but I'm not saying it's a holdout. Wait, we haven't done underrated.
I just said Gerard Mayo.
Well, Kraft and Mayo. Now we want valuable opinions.
How about
Shane Vereen?
I'll give you
an offensive lineman.
I think Nate Solder is a little underrated. Maybe
Ninkovich.
Ninkovich would be one of mine in the running. Ninkovich.
It's tough.
You get overrated as a Patriot. You get overrated. It's
well,
kind
especially
of the MO.
If you're in market.
And it's gonna seem like we're taking the negative look, but I do think that when you're attached to a winning team, you sort of get the credit.
Right.
You know, like
Ninkovich. I'm going with it. Ninkovich and Hernandez are the answers.
Ninkovich was the first one that I thought of. Maybe Ridley.
Trouble is, I tried to promote Ninkovich as a Pro Bowler last year, and he's really not. So is he still underrated, or I don't know where I am on that.
Well, he didn't make it, so you could say overall he's underrated.
But, I mean, you just look at the plays, the versatility, the jobs he's been. I think he's been put in positions that he's not even necessarily suited for, and he's still succeeded. So, yeah, screw it. Very underrated.
Okay.
Mike Reese standing on his box.
Jim says the Fountain of Youth was alleged to be in an area now named
DeLeon
Springs, Florida.
Where?
DeLeon Springs, Ponce Florida.
Ponce de Leon. But isn't that near St. Augustine?
I think it is.
I thought when we were down there in that dive that it was close. They had the world's biggest tree. No, oldest tree. Something about a tree. Oldest tree. No, they did. Somebody email in. I know for a fact they had either the oldest or the biggest.
We got to go to 4 o'clock. He's on fire.
They had some kind of tree that was right next to the crappy hotel.
Yes, it was
right.
We had some sort of tree that was right next to the
crappy hotel. No, but a notable tree. It wasn't any tree.
It was like the oldest tree in Florida or something like that. Yes.
Oh, I thought it was more than that.
Yeah.
Maybe in the world.
Well, I don't know about the world.
Probably not.
I don't know. How do you substantiate that?
Well,
you'd have to cut it down, and then it wouldn't be the oldest tree in the world.
How do you? I mean, seriously, how do they even know it's the oldest one in Florida?
Right. I don't know.
How do you do that?
I don't know.
You measure its rings, and if you measure its rings, it's no longer the oldest tree.
Well, you have a birth certificate?
No, but you have to estimate, I guess, like how the average tree of its kind, how long that lives.
They use carbon 14.
It's half-life. And you can't just assume because it's big. I mean, I got to assume some trees, like some people, some are fat, some are skinny. I mean, different.
He looks right at me because I have to assume like some people.
But, yeah, and I'm pretty sure the fountain was in that same area. You think it would be a better area for how historic it is?
Right.
It wouldn't be such
St. Augustine is a very it's a cool area.
Oh,
there's a lot of cool things in St. Augustine.
I may have been swayed by the hotel I was in.
Cliff and Bam says,
by the chalk outline that was in Deity's room.
The coughing and, like, illness that was brought about upon breathing just the air walking into the room.
Cliff says, my girlfriend told me to kiss her where it stinks, so I took her to Florida.
Now, where did she really want him to kiss her?
Yeah, that's
it's a serious question. I think there's two options.
It's a dirty girl.
Can I get an answer? You don't have to say the word.
Use your imagination for once.
Fred just chastised you.
Is there a right answer?
Whatever you want it to be, okay?
Because two areas on a woman that are close.
She might have gum disease.
Okay, you're right. Three areas could stink. Or ears can smell, too, if you got like a fungus in
That's
there.
That's right.
A nose. Because her nose does the stinking. Maybe it was like a Riddler thing.
He's going to do a whole monologue on things that stink.
Fred just incredulous.
Can you imagine if I was on like the Felger show? How many times memo coming across the desk?
Right.
Memo coming. We can no longer talk about stinky holes. Memo across the desk.
Let's see. You guys were wondering who the other person was returning kicks, according to Field Yates of ESPN Boston. The two players returning kicks were Washington and Matt Slater.
Not the one that was bobbling balls.
Yeah, I don't think so.
This guy would have been two Matt Slaters.
Because Matt Slater is the off returner. First group was probably Slater and Washington. Slater is the incumbent blocker in the return game.
Yeah, and then when they go up, you know, and they run it, they're 50 yards downfield. Somebody else goes in for the next rep.
So suck it.
Michelle in Stockholm
says, assuming this is what's wrong with
Gronk's back because we don't know, I asked my mom, who's a surgeon, about shaving down vertebrae to alleviate pressure and basically give the spinal cord more room. It's basically a temporary solution. Down the line, in most cases, you'll have to fuse the vertebrae together. And even though it's not the same as last time, it's in direct correlation. I think of it as a domino effect, sort of. I think it's Andy who always wonders, how long will Gronk be able to play the way he does? Who knows, but unfortunately, I don't think we'll talk about Gronk playing beyond 30.
Well done, Mish.
Also, what's the difference between starting the year on PUP versus IR since the new IR rules? All right, Fred, I'm sure you've spent your days talking people off the ledge all over the world.
Is it 2 weeks?
What?
Well, you can't...
Is it... What's the... If you start on the IR designated to return, is it 8 weeks you have to wait?
Yeah, at least 8 weeks. Yeah.
I think it's 8 weeks. So, so technically 2 weeks would be the answer to that.
Well, but
PUP,
also PUP,
you could come back in six.
No, but PUP, you have to start PUP to start camp.
Right.
IR, you could have camped, practiced, some point got hurt, go on IR.
Right. That is correct.
So PUP, you would have missed all of the summer plus all of the first 6 weeks.
We should thank Christian, by the way, for lunch today. And I was going to make the comment when Mish said she asked her mom. You know, I was going to say, what did Christian say that your mom said?
Right, Christian, thank you very much for lunch. Much appreciated.
You know, I have a question now. Maybe Misha's mom can answer this for me. No. But she mentioned fusing. And I feel like a long time ago, fusing vertebrae was like this huge deal. Like you were a cripple. But then I know at least in wrestling, maybe Matt LaPan can chime in. I know in wrestling, a number of wrestlers have had their necks fused and come back and wrestled at a high level. Which is pretty physical, and I'm just wondering if fusion is like a death sentence for an athlete these days.
I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure wrestling, it's because of rampant steroid use that's unregulated.
No. But my question would be, if Rob Gronkowski had to have his two vertebrae fused next summer, is his career over, or can he still play?
Well, probably depends on where in his back it is.
So you don't have an answer, huh?
I don't know.
San Francisco awarded Super Bowl 50, Houston 51.
Okay. Like everybody said, Miami had no
shot.
As
expected.
Correct.
Yes.
As expected. Right. But I'm going to tweet it out anyway it's news.
Now, see, there's a place. San Francisco for Super Bowl 50, I'd like to go.
Okay, good.
Not New York this year.
You
but
heard
a
it,
brand
Fred.
New,
Andy can go.
Brand new, beautiful stadium in Santa Clara. San Francisco is the host city. I love San Francisco. I'm all for it.
We've said it before, no matter what the topic is, we have somebody out there that knows the answer. As to tree age, Ian says you take a core from the tree and then count the rings. So you drill a hole all the way through.
Sounds like you could kill the tree.
Oh, no. Trees are very resilient.
What about our guy that counts trees? Some trees are resilient. Some trees aren't, though.
Trees are very resilient.
What if one of those bugs they had in Worcester crawls in there? Those, like, bugs that kill the trees.
No, you can seal it up. Haven't you ever seen that?
What you would do?
Oh, yeah, they put, like, tar or something on it.
Use a little, like, wood glue?
No, they put, like, tar. It's like a heavy tar-based.
They have tree surgeons out there. They're actually surgeons of trees.
Yeah, we do have the guy who counts trees, too, right?
Yeah, I didn't know if maybe he could chime in. Now, did he say what it was? Is it the oldest tree?
No, he doesn't know about that. He just...
I bet you the guy who counts trees knows that. Like, he probably has general knowledge of trees.
You can't determine a tree's age while it's still living.
Unless
someday
you
I'm going to be sitting around like in my mid-70s, and I'm just going to think back to this show, and I'm going to have some random question. I'm going to be like, man, I wish I was still on PFW in Progress, and someone could email in.
I thought you were going to say, like, you're going to be in, like, a nursing home where you're just sitting in the wheelchair by yourself and just start laughing because you're thinking about, like, this stupid stuff.
no, I'm not going to a nursing home.
Really?
I'm not going to make it that far.
I'm not either. I got no chance.
Why is that?
Not a lot of men in my family around very long.
That's why he acts the way he does. He figures he can alienate the whole
planet.
Because
somebody kills them before they kill them.
It's not funny.
Well, I think it was.
Canadian Mike in Florida, I know we've been forecasting the worst-case scenario as far as the Patriots are concerned, but how about the best-case scenario? What if Gronk is okay, 12 games plus full playoffs?
Wait, 12 games is now our best-case scenario?
Amendola plays a full season. Abraham signs with us. A rookie wide receiver steps up and stretches the field. And the other guys make a reasonable second-year jump.
They win the Super Bowl.
I know that's a lot of ifs, but let's say it happens. What's our ceiling? Give me some optimism.
I spend a miserable week in New Jersey and New York and the cold and the crap.
Yeah, but I think that's...
By the way, where's the auxiliary press at an outdoor stadium for the Super Bowl?
I think we're doing that anyway.
Wait, where's the auxiliary press? I'm sitting outside working.
No, I think we're spending a miserable week in New York, New Jersey for Super Bowl week anyway. I think that's the plan, whether we go or not.
Wait, what?
Yeah, we might be down there anyway.
But don't pretend like this is the first you've ever heard of this.
Is it not?
No.
Road trip. We were going to take a bus.
Right.
Holiday.
Seriously, where's my auxiliary press going to be? Are they going to have heaters for me out there? I'm going to be typing and working in a snowstorm?
They could put a tent up, tarp, you know. They could do a lot of things.
You know what they could do? Ruin the Super Bowl experience for 100,000 people by putting it in a cold weather city without a roof. That's what they could do, and they have done it.
I don't think it's going to be optimal, but I'm sure they're going to do as best.
I'm sure they'll tell me it was fine and it was the highest rated and it was most successful.
They can't do an auxiliary press box.
It's going to blow.
Outside. You can't have outside in February.
But they don't have an inside.
They got to do something.
What a debacle.
All right.
No.
That's
going to
be
it
for this edition of PFW in Progress.
I think we
Thanks
go
for
to
sticking
that
with
really
us
did fly.
Can we go to
o'clock?
4?
I can't. I got things to do.
You have nothing to do.
Let's see. Today's Tuesday. We'll see you Thursday, hopefully with a player on the show. See you then. Welcome to the jungle.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.